Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, fresh off of Dave Mustaine on the show yesterday with his official international response to saying the mass shootings could have been staged by the criminals that staged Fast and Furious. You know them as the Obama administration. And then we had Richard Belzer along with Christopher Walken yesterday. On the heels of that, you can only go up one level, to quote Spinal Tap, from 10 to 11. And I said, well, why not just make it louder and make it 10? Because it's 11. And R11 is Max Kaiser. All right, Max is a funny guy. I like him. You know, he'd be a nice, fun guy to hang around, drink beer with. But I shouldn't open the interview up joking around with him, or that'll set the tone, and then it'll disintegrate very rapidly with the two of us. And I am in a kind of a joking mood today. Don't ask me why. Well, actually, I know why. All work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. I actually got to go wakeboarding yesterday evening with some friends that took me out. I want to thank them for that. And I feel energized. I feel like I was on a week-long vacation. Now I have mini vacations, three-hour periods every once in a while. So we're going to be talking about the big news with Max Kaiser. When we come back from break, we're going to get into the talk of QE3, the rapidly deteriorating situation since we had him on a week ago, less than a week ago, doing nothing to MF Global, what precedent this sets. We're going to talk about it all with Max Kaiser today. And we're also going to look at a bunch of the different military developments and more, and the new combat robots to occupy our cities. Pentagon developing autonomous humanoid robots to perform evacuation operations like Katrina. That means gun confiscations. So talk about Skynet. It's here. And police departments are getting Homeland Security blimps. It's all very nice. So it's all part of, well, it's all part of our tax money and the playing army on the disheveled, overtaxed American people. But it's the same thing worldwide happening. Max Kaiser, tell us what's front and center on your plate. We're going to come back and launch the official interview here. Max Kaiser, syndicated radio host, TV host, maxkaiser.com. A one-stop shop for all things financial crystal ball gazing. Good to have you here with us.
Hey, Alex. Yeah, great to be with you. And just continuing on the theme that we established a few months ago, just trying to pick the exact date of when you have this global fiat money collapse. I've said April of next year is the outside chance of that happening anytime between now and then. And just to try to figure out where the seismic shocks are in the system, what'll trigger the event. So I'm looking at a couple of different things. And as I mentioned on the last show, I've done some more work looking into Japan. You know, Japan is a very interesting country because they funded 20 years of stagnant economic development with their savings account. So people in Japan are almost forced to buy Japanese government bonds. But now demographically, these people are retiring, so they have to sell to fund their retirement. So that means a guarantee upward move in interest rates. That could be the trigger that starts a global cascading effect in the entire. And what got me started on this is because it just emerged this past week, Alex, that the second biggest buyer of U.S. Treasury debt now is no longer China. Number one, of course, is America. America is the biggest buyer of its own debt. But taking the second spot now is Japan. China is walking away from the table. Japan has always been under the Treasury of America's thumb. They'll do whatever America says. And now they are the number two biggest buyer of U.S. Treasury bonds. But that is extremely dangerous because their economy itself is a tinderbox, probably the weakest, most fragile economy in the world after the Fukushima disaster, after 20 years of the zombie economy and the zombie banks. But now they are supporting America. Japan, the zombie economy, is supporting the American economy. Give you an idea of how fragile the system is. China is walking away. What is China buying with the money that they have? Well, it's turned out that they are buying gold. My sources tell me that China, before the end of this year, will come out with an official statement announcing that they've upped their gold by over 1,000 tons.
Stay there. We're going to come right back with all things economic.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, if true, it signals one of the biggest, stinking, ugliest, mange-covered rats, fat on the blood of dead children and criminal wars and tyranny worldwide, and fat off the blood of all they killed with Arkanside. Hillary Clinton, one of the king of rats, the Washington Examiner, DrudgeReport.com are reporting, or Drudge's link to it, as technically he's not reporting, that she is set to not be his VP because they want to get rid of Biden. I mean, that's admitted after Biden came out. And so they want to put basically chains on black people. Hillary rejected VP slot to ready her own 2016 run. And go ahead and go to the Examiner. Yeah, let's show people that they're watching on PrisonPlanet.tv. And it goes on. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton was pressed by her husband and a top Obama aide to consider replacing Vice President Joe Biden just a couple of weeks ago. Claims the author of the New York Times bestseller, The Amateur. And going over it, it looks like a pretty good source, but who knows? Continuing here, following Biden's footsteps, MSNBC host says Romney engaging in inwardization. He actually said it. I'm not going to go the route of their talk show host saying it's not that big of a deal. They use it as a weapon. Let's use the word. It doesn't matter with the political correctness. They can say that stuff to get everybody fighting with each other and to inject racial division. Divide and conquer, and then it's cute and sweet. Yeah, you can show. The crew's like, can we even show the headline? He's allowed to say it to try to create race war, but then we, the evil whitey, exactly, we're bad. And again, it isn't a black-white thing. These people know this. They're engaging in class warfare. They're just literally pimping out racial conflict. It's unbelievable. Those black leaders, make sure those black babies get aborted, 51% of them. So we're going to be going over all of that. But that's enough. Coming up in about 25 minutes, we're going to open the phones up. In fact, they're open now for your questions for a former top stockbroker, retired author, researcher, who's done BBC shows, syndicated radio, RT, Press TV. He does that every week. Max Kaiser was on with us Friday. Last Sunday. Now he's on with us this Friday. It is the 17th day of August 2012 on this Friday edition. This is teleprompter free radio / TV, talking point free as well. We just cover it, well, like I see it and my guests see it. That's why sometimes we have differing views with guests. We're not monolithic liberal show, monolithic conservative show. I'm into freedom. I'm into an open debate. I'm into getting people to think for themselves. I think you deserve more than talking points. I think you're smart. I think when I tell you all this scary stuff, you'll make preparation for it. I don't tell you this stuff to scare you. I think you're like me. I think you want to know the truth. The truth's always there anyways. If you didn't know the elevator didn't actually come when the doors open, and you step out and go, well, I don't see an elevator. I see a 100-floor shaft. But I just feel like I'll step on in there. I'm going to be positive. I don't want to be scared. And then you'd fall 100 floors and die and bounce at the bottom and splat everywhere like Sloppy Joe's on the highway. That's what we're talking about here. Okay, the elevator doors have opened. There is no elevator. Do not walk into it. But people are like lemmings falling off the edge of the cliff. After all, Gloria Steinem says it's cool. I mean, she is CIA after all, which means banker occupier. Max Kaiser of MaxKaiser.com joins us. He's also the inventor of the virtual trading system. He's with the Hollywood Stock Exchange. And he was on with us Sunday, and now things have really deteriorated. Fox News, AP, Reuters, they're all talking about global collapse. Banks prepared for collapse. Banks told prepare for collapse. We've been now told, and China has announced, the government's pulling out of the U.S. stock market, saying it's fraudulent. Just what Max has been saying. George Soros and others rushing in to buy gold, getting completely out of the market, even privately. They stopped managing people's money years ago. What does all of this signify? For those of us watching, the writing's on the wall. Massive war, total collapse. Is it of Can it be averted? Or Max, when you say collapse on the outside by next April at the latest, are you saying that it will happen? Is there any way to avert it? What does the collapse look like? Max Keiser, you have the floor.
Yeah, I'm saying that it's a 90% chance of collapse by next April, and that, but it could happen at any time between now and April. The global economy, you have to look at it in terms of the way a systems analyst would look at any complicated system. Every time you add more to the system, the complexity doesn't rise in a linear fashion. It rises exponentially. So every time the Fed puts on more quantitative easing, every time investment banks bail out some other investment bank, every time more derivatives are released into the system, you don't go from, let's say, 700 trillion in notional value derivatives to 800 trillion in a linear way. You have to think of it in terms of this global quadrillion to two quadrillion derivative souffle being encumbered with exponentially more risk. This is classic systems analysis, because we no longer have an economy of supply and demand, of output, of factories, of wages. We've left that world 40 years ago when we went off the gold standard in 1971. By the way, this is the 41st anniversary of the closing of the gold window on August 15th, 1971, by Richard Nixon. But all this time since then, we've been building in the complexity, building in the debt. And so now, between now and April of next year, is my call, you're going to have complete systemic collapse, much worse than in 2008. 2008 was just a precursor to what will be a complete and utter breakdown. And just so the game here is to try to pick where it starts, what the trigger, and to study it in terms of how the economies rattle and roll as a result of this complete and utter systemic breakdown. As I mentioned, Japan, to me, seems like the weakest link in the chain. Once that goes, it's one of the top three economies in the world, the second biggest creditor behind the U.S. itself, the U.S. debt, and they just have a lot of awful demographic and economic trends going against them. So looking more locally, Alex, to follow up on a story you've been talking about for a few weeks, the fraud that is Facebook, Groupon, and Zynga. I want to add something.
And you said on this show, let me just interrupt to get the number out, 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. Call's coming up at the bottom of the hour. Max, I hate to toot your horn. I just want to point out, mainstream media gets it wrong most of the time beforehand because they're lying. They have an agenda. You keep getting it right, and our guests do, because it's, you know what's happening. But expanding on this, you said 6 months ago, well before this, you said Facebook was going to be a giant pump and dump. Everybody who knew what was going on knew that. And now they get away with this, but Martha Stewart goes to jail. Go ahead.
Right. It's a pump and dump scandal, and which is, you'd see on Wall Street 20 years ago on the penny stock firms. You know, they're very famous companies back then who were big in the penny stock, and they would call people up on the phone and get them to buy stock while they themselves were selling the stock. And then suddenly there were no more sellers and the stock would collapse and the insiders made out like bandits. Now, this is the first time we've seen it operated on this huge scale. Facebook was a $104 billion public offering. Barack Obama had his arm around Mark Zuckerberg, and he was involved in this pump and dump. They go public at $104 billion, and they're now down 50% from the IPO price, 60 or 70% from the high just touched after the IPO price. And you've got two other stocks I want to talk about, Zynga and Groupon. Groupon is a stock that went public at 20, traded near 30, is now at 5. And Zynga is down 60 or 70, 80% as well. What all these three companies have in common, this is a dimension that hasn't been touched on a lot, is that they all share a common auditor, Ernst & Young. Ernst & Young is one of the biggest auditors in America. They are crooked. They are as crooked as Wall Street. They are as crooked as the fund managers. They are as crooked as the rating agencies. They are as crooked as these.
And explain
bankers.
How this works. It's not just that they're crooked and cook the books. Only certain groups like Arthur Andersen and others who are politically connected with Justice Department people in a revolving door, only you go to them, not for them to cook the books even really. That's on the surface. It's really a payoff to regulators who are in a revolving door to let you be above the law.
Well, Arthur Andersen is one of the biggest accounting firms. They got caught up at Enron. Enron blew up, and Arthur Andersen disappeared. There were 10 or so big firms at one point. I think we're down to 4.
But
now.
Am I correct in what I said?
Ernst & Young is not necessarily hired to cook the books because the system is so corrupt that there is no genuine, generally accepted accounting principles worth anything anymore. Ernst & Young, they cover these three companies that I just mentioned. They have just lost, in total, these three companies alone, the market caps have dropped by $62 billion in the past just few months since going public. And just to give you an idea of what Ernst & Young does, or these big accounting firms do, I had an experience myself when I was CEO of a company in Los Angeles. We had one of these big accounting firms come in, PricewaterhouseCoopers. And the trick is, basically, it depends on what they call revenue. In the case of Zynga, that they sell virtual tractors, and they sell virtual raspberries as part of Farmville, which is a game on Facebook. Ernst & Young would count the virtual money as real money. So that was the fraud that they were committing. In the case of the company I was involved with, PricewaterhouseCoopers, they were identifying losses as revenue. We had $2 million in losses. They put in the filing for the IPO at Bear Stearns, $2 million in revenues. And according to their formula, that was the revenues of the company, even though they were the losses of the company. But they didn't get in trouble after that, because the accounting rules in America, just like all the banking rules and all the political rules and all the special interest rules and all the abrogation of all the civil rights and all the constitutional rules, are now in the hands of the lunatics running this asylum. They're the ones, Ernst & Young can say, that losses equal revenues, and therefore the company is worth $100 billion. Then it goes to the public market, and within 3 months we know, wait a minute, sure, the company's not worth $5.
Sure, Max, stay there. When we come back, I want to get your take on this then. If the whole thing is rotten, and as you said, the whole structure is the rust, take the rust out of the car, there's no car, what happens when there is an implosion? Is it total? Does it make it worse? Bankers did a bad, bad thing. Oh, they did. And now they're buying 1.4 billion bullets. They've got drones and checkpoints going up everywhere. And more they admit it's for a civil unrest collapse. Max Keiser, who's been stunningly accurate in his prediction so far, unfortunately, is saying in the next, I don't know, how far away is April? 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 months. 6, 7 months. He sees it all imploding, and now they're in Fox News saying it looks like the Fed is going to go to QE3, but they've already done other forms of stimulus that cause inflation. Max, what happens when the corruption is so systemic? I mean, if we had crashes in 1929, not much of the economy was tied up in the market. What happens when everything's tied up in fraud if things go belly up?
Well, it's a good point, because back in the 20s and 30s, you still had a very big farming component in the U.S. economy. And even during the Depression, there was enough family farms in America. People could eat to some degree. That's not so anymore. You have the big industrial farming, the Monsanto and farming, the huge conglomerate farming. You don't really have the small farms anymore. So when the thing blows up, there's no recourse. There's nowhere to go back. I'll make another prediction for 2013. You keep asking me, is there any way to stop it? And I say, no, there's no way to stop this, because systems analysis tells me that when you complicate a system to the degree that this has been compromised and complicated, there is a 99.9% probability of a total, utter systemic collapse before April, and that's my thought. Now, following up on that, there is only one possible outcome as a result of that, and that's civil war. There's got to be a civil war. It's going to be a civil war in America, intergenerational. All the people under 30 are going to go to war with everybody who's 45 plus, who basically stole all their money, stole their country, stole their wealth, destroyed the arability and the viability of the soil, and that will be the civil war. There's only, if you have one, you're going to have the other, and that would come in 2013.
Max, I'm so speechless. I've got to interject something here. This is shaking me right now. Because I know you wouldn't just say this and put your credibility on the line. You're really sure of this, and I hope you're wrong. That's all I can say.
Well, I'm putting my flag, planting my flag on this one. as I have done before with predictions previously. And there's no avoiding the collapse. There's no remedy to the collapse. The underlying chaos is too great. The 86% of all the trades in the New York Stock Exchange are computer to computer. That's true of exchanges all over the world. The algorithms that support all this trading are funded with 0% interest rates from the Fed. They can borrow money at zero. They can do anything they want with any amount of money that they want. And if they ever make a mistake, they get bailed out with more free money from the feds. And they keep adding layer and layer and layer of problems onto the system. We already had the flash crash in 2010. We had the entire evisceration of Knight Capital just a couple of weeks ago, $440 million in 45 minutes due to a spastic computer program.
Well, I mean, here's why you may be right. I mean, undoubtedly, it's all a giant fraud and waiting to blow up, Max. But why are the Chinese pulling out of the U.S. stock market?
They're buying gold. They're buying every... This is going to be another surprise announcement, Gallup. They're going to come out before the end of the year and say that their gold holdings are not at roughly 1,000 tons, but they're closer to 2,000 tons. They may even be up toward 3,000 tons, which would put them right up with Germany. Number two biggest concentration of gold in the world is Germany with 3,000 tons, then the U.S., with 8,000 tons. China, big surprise announcement coming this year. They're either going to double, probably double, their gold to 2,000 tons. It'll shock the world. It'll put a whole nother wave of buying pressure on gold, which we still see is going to continue its climb to $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 an ounce. And China is a big part of that. As you mentioned, Soros is now back in gold in a big way. John Paulson, one of the biggest hedge fund managers in the world, is now 44% of his fund is entirely in gold bullion. That's billions of dollars. The hedge funds, the smart money, is always the first mover, and they get in there first. They know what's coming. They see the collapse. A lot of other hedge funds are closing business because the system is too chaotic. There's too treacherous out there. Funds are just pulling the plug.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, that's what the Chinese said. They said Monday, I mean, of course, you were just mentioning earlier, they said this system doesn't work. It's not real. In fact, I had the article. I forget their exact statement, but we'll try to find it during the break. But they were like, you know, this system is no longer, we can't gauge this. They basically said it wasn't real. Exactly what you're saying, Max.
Yeah, I know. They listen to my show.
They listen to reality, I'm sure, and they probably do listen to you. We'll be right back with Max Keiser and your phone calls, and he's got a lot more to cover. Stay with us.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
You are obsolete, Mr. Wordsworth.
A lie. No man is obsolete.
You have no function, Mr. Wordsworth. You're an anachronism, like a ghost from another time.
I am nothing more than a reminder to you that you cannot destroy truth by burning pages.
You're a bug, Mr. Wordsworth, a crawling insect, an ugly, misformed little creature who has no purpose here, no meaning.
I am a human being.
Words, Mr. Wordsworth, that have no substance and no dimension, like air, like the wind.
I don't care. I tell you, I don't care. I'm a human being. I exist. And if I speak one thought aloud, that thought lives even after I'm shoveled into my grave.
Delusions, Mr. Wordsworth. Delusions that you inject into your veins to make you think you have a strength when you have no strength at all. You have nothing but spindly limbs and a dream. And the state has no use for your kind.
Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. It's Alex Jones.
All right, we're going back to Max Keiser because I want to ask him what the collapse he's predicting will look like. I mean, he's saying worse than 08, and that was a heart attack in the financial system orchestrated to hold us hostage and bring in control. How bad will this one be? Because Paulson, the Secretary of the Treasury, threatened martial law, and we first reported that with a congressman on the show who heard it in closed committee, and people thought I made it up, and a week later it was big national news. We got no credit, of course. And it's not that that even matters. I'm just tired of people doubting it when I have a congressman on or, you know, I have somebody interesting on, and people just can't believe it was even real. when it had like Willie Nelson on. And I've seen people don't believe I had Christopher Walken on yesterday. I mean, they don't believe that the truth has been successful. They just can't get it through their heads. They're playing games with themselves, not us that are awake. We're going to go back and ask them that question in a moment and go to your phone calls. Max Keiser, MaxKeiser.com is our guest. If you just joined us again, I'm Alex Jones. We're here Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Central, 12 noon to 3 p.m. Eastern. Weeknights, 7 o'clock at InfoWarsNews.com or PrisonPlanet.tv with the nightly news. Sometimes it's 3 hours long, folks. I mean, it's in-depth. If you like this radio show and the info, then you're going to love the television show. It's very informative. The guests, the in-studio, the documents, the mini-documentaries. That's 15 cents a day. You can subscribe there for $5.95 a month. You get 6 memberships for the price of 1. It's all about getting the word out, and that just pays for our bandwidth. We're getting censored more and more, so we're promoting PrisonPlanet.tv more and more. And lastly, with this uncertain world, we have found the very best superfoods out there, just incredible vitamin, minerals, trace element, things like Beyond Tangy Tangerine, discounted at InfoWarsTeam.com. That's InfoWarsTeam.com. Tomorrow we're launching InfoWarsHealth.com, a new site that covers some other angles of this. The Pollen Burst Plus, the regular Pollen Burst, all of it available at InfoWarsTeam.com. The best proprietary blend of essential fatty acids that I take, the EFAs. And now we have it all discounted. We're an official, you know, we carry it all. Interfood, the best green superfood, coffee lines, you name it, all at InfoWarsShop.com. And again, we're not like the government that takes your money in bailouts and then gives it to MSNBC to be, you know, to push tyranny and anti-liberty. We're supported by you. So when you purchase the high-quality water filters that are discounted and all of it, you get the best products at the lowest prices, and you support freedom. Win-win, win-win, win-win-win. We are capitalists. We are free market. We believe in the Constitution. We believe in free association. So if you believe in what we're doing and like what we're doing, buy stuff at InfoWarsShop.com and watch us grow and expand in the face of the globalist big time. Okay, I got to ask you, Max Keiser, what then does a collapse look like? I mean, you're going out there big time, and I find it chilling because I respect your analysis. When you say collapse, some people then say that means road warrior, you know, bands of motorcycles feeding on people. Well, crime rates are already exploding. There are a lot of towns where there are no police. Or if there are, they're there to make sure you don't have guns, or they are the gangs. So we're starting to see some road... Chicago, most dangerous city in the world now. But obviously... By collapse, you don't mean full road warrior collapse, or how bad could it get?
Well, first of all, before I get into that, I wanted to touch on some news here about the extent to which this fraud has perpetrated itself throughout the economy and why people are going to continue to be outraged and why that anger is building. Remember, John Corzine, former head of Goldman Sachs, former governor of New Jersey, he was caught when he moved over to MF Global stealing $1.2 billion. We talked about it on your show before. Now, he is basically allowed to go scot-free. There's no penalty at all for John Corzine. His defense is that the money vaporized. He has no idea where it went, and he just can't seem to be able to generate any evidence of its whereabouts that it ever existed or where it went. That's the kind of outrageous statement coming from a former governor, former head of Goldman Sachs, former head of MF Global, that gets into under people's skin. And they say, wait a minute, this guy is part of a racket. The racket of the rating agencies, the fund managers, Wall Street, the auditors, as we just talked about, the media, CNBC. And it's a mafia-style racket. They're practicing racketeering, and they are stealing wholesale our wealth and, by proxy, our country. At some point, there is a breaking point, and the most victimized group in America will be the new generation that wakes up one day and finds gasoline at $15 a gallon, a bag of groceries for $300, and no way to get to work because the roads are completely in disrepair, and on and on and on. And those people will have no recourse whatsoever but to take back their country by any means necessary. It's just it's not a big leap of faith here. This is just a logical progression of
what happens. And the bankers are gearing up with 1.4 billion plus rounds of ammo, checkpoints, giant armored tanks, vehicles, admitting they're going to put the army on the street. What's the army going to do when their wife can't, you know, with her paycheck, pay for groceries, or mama's thrown out on the street? I mean, what are these bankers thinking?
Well, when you say, will it be like road warriors, you know, it could be like, you know, a soft gulag. And what I mean by that would be, on one hand, you've got this massive private prison industry that's growing one of the fastest growing industries in America is private prisons. Corrections Corps of America hitting new all-time highs on their stock. We talked about it recently.
And she'll put all the people in the new FEMA camps where they're there for petty reasons, making things, further driving down wages.
Right. And prison labor, since we talked last time, has come out that factory owners in America are complaining to the Chamber of Commerce because the prison labor now, which works for 80 to 90 cents a day, is becoming such a big component of the American labor force that the only way you can get a job in America now is to go to prison. And then, so the manufacturers, the factories in America, they don't have anybody to hire because the people...
Yeah, and look at the crime wave in France, the riots, the crime wave in Greece, and they've disarmed most of the people, so the criminals are just robbing. And it says the police can't help. Yeah, because it turns out the cops are the ones robbing a lot of people. I mean, this can only go on so long.
All right, so my idea of the soft gulag is, first of all, you have the hard gulag, which are the prisons and the camps. And we see that being telegraphed in the stock market already because the capitalization of those companies is moving aggressively higher because they know that they're about to get 20, 30, 40, 50 million new inmates, and that's incredibly profitable. They get huge tax abatements. They own the restaurants and the hotels near the prisons, so people go visit their family in prison. They eat in the restaurants. They stay in the hotels. You lose your voting rights. It's a fantastic money center. But the soft gulag, we saw that last week with the introduction of face deals. You know, these new Facebook cameras in retail shops that are geared to face recognition.
And you get discounts by giving up your liberties and freedoms, but that's only up front. Later, everyone will have to do it to buy and sell.
Right. So, in other words, you give up your liberties and freedoms for a deal on some Chinese-made garbage. So you get 20 cents off. And you'll allow Facebook to essentially keep you in check, keep you in line. Whenever you go into a mall or a shopping environment, and of course they'll hook it up to the grid, which includes every camera out there, you will be buzzed on your cell phone whenever you stray off the path. If you stray toward a retailing outlet that they don't want you to go to or doesn't have the deal that they want you to look at, you'll get buzzed, you'll get phoned, you'll start...
Yeah, this is how they control markets. We've got to go to calls because I promised to, but new documents, Big Sis lied about canceling mobile body scanner program. They're now rolling out giant... They have the army doing this. We have footage on local news from New York where they make you and your family drive under a high-powered... X-ray machine that shoots through metal, more powerful than a chest X-ray, and they're still rolling it out. New documents, Big Sis lied about canceling mobile body scanner program. Homeland Security claimed it had dropped the plans in an early stage, and we've got the local newscast showing the idiot police and military standing out there under high-powered... Guys, show people this article. It's incredible. Under giant, high-powered X-ray machines that shoot through your car and your truck. I mean, this is suicide. I mean, these globalists are just setting up a system of total war against everybody with the GMO food, the radiation, the mass death. We are run by lunatics.
Gulag concept. It is coming into focus. And Facebook, by the way, also is introducing online gambling in the UK with British pounds. So that, remember, I called the Gulag Casino, which is going to, people will give up their liberties also for a chance to gamble online. Of course, they hold out these enormous mega multi-million dollar pots of money that people can win.
All fake dreams, all manipulating. The people going to the private prison to visit their family don't even know the restaurants, gas stations, hotels are owned by the big mega bank that owns that consortium that actually shipped the drugs in that their son or daughter got caught using. The troops grow the opium, total black op murder, massive record suicide by the troops, cancer viruses being injected in us, total insanity. Again, that's the type of collapse you're talking about. Let's go to Roy in Montana. Roy, you're on the air with Max Kaiser.
Well, thanks for taking my call, Brother Alex. Mr. Kaiser, good to talk to you. My question is, I can't really afford gold, and obviously it's going to go way up. Do you think silver would be a good investment for somebody who can't afford gold, or do you just at this point just invest in...
You're talking to Mr. Silver right now, Max.
Yeah, silver, of course. They call it the poor man's gold. It's basically the same thing as owning gold. It'll operate the same thing. You know, gold and silver now... more and more are being considered a currency. The commodity, the CME in Chicago, the Commodity Mercantile Exchange, just announced today that they are accepting gold as collateral. That means for the first time now, these commodity futures operations who are part of the banking system, they are so distrustful of the banks themselves that they are violating this idea that gold is somehow not a money. They're saying now gold is a currency. We will take gold as collateral. So gold is seeping its way into the economy. It's being monetized slowly but surely. It is the only thing that's going to be left standing. 5,000 years of history will tell you that. Silver is just as good as gold in this environment. If you don't want to buy pure silver, you can buy junk silver, which is 90% silver. You know, the 1964 or previous.
Everybody knows what those coins are. And when all this paper fully goes down, people are going to still be transacting. It's going to be whiskey, cigarettes, silver, gold, bullets, firearms, food, people that know how to fix things, trades. I mean, that's where it's at.
Yeah, well, Stacy, my fiance, soon-to-be wife, you know, she has thousands of these miniature bottles of whiskey from the airplanes that she's going to use as currency, she says.
By the way, Max, yeah, I've got a bunch of whiskey and stuff, obviously not drinking it, but I'm joking, but I do have a bunch of whiskey and stuff. I mean, I know that there's a good chance all this is going to happen. I hope it doesn't. But, sir, I hope that answers your question.
It does, and one quick follow up. What would that do with a person with a mortgage? I mean, if the dollar tanks, and you know you owe your mortgage in dollars, I mean, how does that affect the average homeowner?
Max, you answer it. Go ahead.
Well, theoretically, you inflate the mortgage value away, and it's quote unquote good for the homeowner. But I think we're in an environment where there's so much economic dislocation, and there's so many other variables at play here that it's not worth it in that sense. But you mean your point is well taken. It's a good point, but there are other things to consider. And real estate as a class of investment is problematic for a number of reasons. You know, you have the society breaking down. You don't know different neighborhoods today could suddenly become war zones next week. You know, there's a lot of things happening. But your point is well taken. It's a good point, and I can't, you know, say it's not a good point.
All right. Thank you so much, sir. Let's go to Jay in Texas. You're on the air, Jay.
Hey, how you doing, Max? Hey, there's an article out in Veterans Today about foreign cash disqualifies Romney from presidential bid, something about him being over in Israel in Italy or London. Do you know anything about that? And
I haven't seen that particular article. You know, Romney, of course, is problematic for a number of different reasons. You know, the whole Bain Capital affiliation and everything that goes on there. I don't understand why people would want to look at a guy who said his tax rate for the past 5 years is averaging about 13%. So clearly he's not in the same country that we are living in. He lives in some other country. He's a foreigner.
He lives in global country where the globalists are all above the law.
He can't really consider him to be an American. He doesn't, you know, he pays taxes like he lives in the Cayman Islands. So go to the Cayman Islands and leave us alone.
Yeah, I hear you. You certainly had courage to live in France. I know you're going to the tax haven, as they call it, of England, Max. Let's go to Mark in North Carolina. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Alex, Max, thanks for taking my call. And doggone, you answered several of my questions while I was sitting here waiting. But I still have one good one, I think, and that's got to do with whether you've got bullets or arrows seeds or other items, including the silver and the gold. Once you have it, what's the best ways or what's the best and safest bet for keeping it?
Well, I mean, number one, don't tell anybody about it but your spouse. Number two, have guns to defend it and be ready to use them. And number three, don't put all your eggs in one basket, Max Kaiser.
Well, my understanding is that InfoWars is opening up a huge warehouse down in Austin, Texas, to store everybody's precious metals. That's where I send all mine.
No, very funny, Max.
No. Okay. So, yes, you don't want, obviously, you're at risk if you have it in your home, or you know, there's a lot of work on the web in terms of what people are doing with this. Personally, there are services that you can get involved with that store your metals in vaults that are completely outside of the banking system.
Yeah, I mean, there's all sorts of private lockers. Safety deposit boxes aren't 100% safer. Yeah, but the point is, if you got it in a couple of them, you can always get the stuff out later. So, I mean, you know, just all over the place is basically it.
No, there's common sense. You're right to be concerned. From there are a number of strategies you can use. Some, each one has pluses and minuses, but tied to your individual circumstance, which I don't know. But it's easy enough to get the research on this.
Yeah, I'm investing in lead and the systems that project it, and I'm also food and things like that.
Well, yeah, but funny thing is, Portugal just announced that the folks there that are being exposed to austerity measures have just run out of all the gold that they can sell at the local pawn shop to swap.
No, I know,
food.
I know, absolutely. And the bankers drove the price down to hoard it themselves. More calls straight ahead. Logan, John, Terry, Scott, your calls straight ahead. Stay with us. I'm Alex Jones with Max Keiser. Basically, an offshore criminal class has gotten control. They fund themselves by militarizing against us. They make money out of enslaving us. They've brainwashed people to be paranoid. I think their neighbors are terrorists. While the government runs Al-Qaeda publicly, it is an insane time to be alive. Max Keiser is our guest for this little segment and the next. And then in studio, we're going to have Joe Bannister and his lawyer, political prisoner. They tried to make him a political prisoner. Joe Bannister, former Treasury agent. This is very important in light of all the corruption with the IRS coming out. Logan, in California, you're on the air worldwide.
Nice to talk to you, AJ. Remember, apathy is treason, my brother. My question for Max Keiser is, I don't hear anybody speaking about commercial real estate and the fact that you can only claim a loss on your business for 5 years before you have to declare bankruptcy. And I believe that that is going to be one of the trigger mechanisms for the next collapse, because housing real estate was the bubble that popped the first time. And so I wanted to know what you thought about that, Max.
Well, all I can say is that I would agree with you. Okay. That what you're saying is absolutely correct. The commercial real estate sector is kind of huge bubble proportions, just like the student loan sector is a huge multi, trillion-dollar plus bubble ready to burst as well. So there's still big bubbles yet to burst.
Here in California, everywhere I look, strip malls they have one business in 10 units, and every single one of them has a for rent sign, for sale sign. And they've been sitting for years. I have friends.
Okay, let me jump in here. So think that through for a second. So in other words, you got this commercial real estate that's vacant, that's not generating any income. It's backed by bonds, collateralized bonds of some nature, mortgage collateralized bonds, which have been sold back and forth amongst banks. And those banks, when they sell those back and forth to each other, they value them for 100 cents on the dollar. None of the banks yet have said, wait a minute, the strip malls are empty. Those bonds are not worth 100 cents on the dollar. They're worth only 5 cents on the dollar. No one has done that yet. They keep trading them back and forth for fees, and they're allowed to do that because they do it a really off balance sheet. They do it on the dark exchange. They do it outside of the regulator's eyes. And so as a result, you have this building Mount Vesuvius of bad debt that's building on the balance sheets of these banks. JP Morgan, classic example, $90 trillion worth of derivatives, trillions of dollars worth of bad commercial real estate debt, and it's not being exposed because they
well
don't
said,
have any
well said. Thank you, Logan. Got to jump. Terry in Canada, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Alex, Max, thank you very much, guys. I was first introduced to Max, Mike Maloney. And when he air guitared the Sex Pistols, he had me hooked. So my question is, Bank of Canada governor is Mark Carney. He does double duty at the Bank of International Settlements. So my exact question is the Bank of Canada buying gold? And once this financial collapse happens, where does Canada fit into it all, being the biggest trader with the U.S.?
Well, Carney's an interesting case because, of course, just 6 months ago, Jamie Dimon, CEO JP Morgan, was lecturing Carney on why he needs to reduce his minimum capital reserve requirements in that country. Because doesn't he know that selling more derivatives is in the best interest of all the bankers around the world? You know, Carney said, you know, get lost, punk. And for that reason, you know, have to give them big kudos. They went through a huge banking crisis in the early 90s. They recapitalized everything. You know, the Canadian banks are basically nationalized. They're not. So they have a much more strict oversight.
They didn't get rid of their Glass-Steagall because they'd done that previously and got into trouble with it. Great points. We're going to come back in 5 more minutes with Max Keiser of MaxKeiser.com. Again, if you're just tuned in, I'm Alex Jones of Infowars.com. No, we're not dry, old, fake left-wing media regurgitating fables. We're not old, dry, right-wing media regurgitating old fables. We're looking for real reality and freedom in our time. I hope Max Keiser's wrong. He says it's going to happen in the next 6-7 months. By next April, total collapse. I hope he's wrong, but there's a good chance he's going to be right. The globalists could always have some new bubble, some new scam, some new thing they do. But Max has never said it's coming down now. He's saying that, and a lot of our other experts are. That's super creepy. We're here warning people.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on this Friday worldwide transmission. Got 5 minutes left with Max Keiser. Invaluable information, MaxKeiser.com. You know, as we're having him on a lot more, we're very thankful for him coming on. You can find out about his TV and radio shows at MaxKeiser.com. Be sure and support the alternative truthful media. Doesn't mean he has all the answers or I have all the answers. Doesn't mean we're infallible, nothing close to it. But we're trying to get to the truth. And Max has really proven he's got his pulse from being a former insider on where things are going. And this conversation's freaking me out. I live here too. And I see all the preparations. And I wish we weren't right. It's just somehow we got to turn this around and try to educate as many military and police, because the globalists plan on having a civil war in this country that they trigger instead of having us come together and fixing the system. And, you know, I've grown up, I'm older, I'm not that old, but I just, when I was 20, you know, I was a little more, we'll just have a war. And I didn't want it then either, but now I've lived enough to know what a bad idea that is. Even though we'll totally crush the globalist forces, that's part of the plan. And then the real globalists just set offshore. Max Keiser's our guest, so be sure and spread the word about all the work we're doing here, because it is so cutting edge, to use that cliche. John in Indiana, you're on the air with our guest, Max Keiser.
Yeah. Hey, Max, Alex, good to talk to you guys. You know, I always enjoy listening to Max and you too, Alex. Just kind of wanted to tell you a little bit going on here. I'm about 2 hours outside of Chicago, close to a little place called Gary, Indiana. I don't know if you guys know about it, but it's a cesspit, basically. Just rampant crime. But what they're doing here is they're opening up several churches in and around the area to confiscate guns. So you can bring your guns in and basically get a $15-$25 Walmart gift card. So, and this just happened Wednesday. I just heard it on the radio here. The local radio station was just broadcasting it here. Yeah, like I said, a couple of days ago. So,
give us your take on that, Max.
Well, Walmart is the company store on the plantation. You know, every dollar you save at Walmart, you destroy $1.50 in wages. If you shop at Walmart, you're putting yourself into a wageless prison environment. It's as simple as that.
Same thing with Target, though. They're all the same.
Yeah, okay. But Walmart is the biggest employer.
No, it wrote the book, but it's now even being slave marted out worse by Amazon.
Possibly. But in other words, the retailing environment.
Race to the bottom.
Yeah, it's okay, the race to the bottom. I mean, if you want to segue into a discussion about guns, I mean, that's a different discussion.
Yeah, but I mean, I was interrupting. Give us, in closing, your take on what's happening to retail.
Well, no, it's the race to the bottom. You know, I was trying to come up with a good metaphor for this this transition to this total collapse state. And you know, you see it in nature all the time, Alex. You know, the transition in these system dynamics when there's a shift. You know, when you have water, for example, retains a lot of heat, and then suddenly it only takes 1 degree to go from water to vapor. Okay, that's a phase shift. And that's what I'm talking about. The heat, the water, the system is heating up with systems breakdown. And once we get that one final degree shift in complexity and outrage, you have a phase shift from water to steam. And steam, compared to water, is extremely, unstable.
Yes.
And that's the society that we're heading for in 2013, something extremely unstable.
So when you say collapse, you mean lots of instability, crazy stuff going on. And the globalists know this shift's happening, so they want to flip it like judo and take all that rage and use it for them to take over. But you're saying you don't see things going well for them, or will they stay in control?
They've got all the... I think they're in good shape, Alex.
We're going to have you back up very soon. Thank you so much, Max. I want to see where you think all this is going. Max Keiser's been our guest. We got in-studio guests straight ahead. A guy that tried to make a political prisoner for his speech. Stay with us.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
You know, I should have hyped this up better, but our listeners know that we tend to be all bite and no bark, as they say. We've had a lot of amazing guests in the last few days. We just had Max Keiser on yesterday. We had Richard Belzer along with Christopher Walken and Dave Mustaine with an exclusive response to the big national story. So I'm really proud of the InfoWars radio/TV show. And I'm also very proud of my crew and the great work they're doing and the sponsors, the AM and FM affiliates, XM166, everybody, our sponsors. We couldn't do this without you. And it also shows that liberty is popular. Now, I knew this because I'd followed the trial. And I think once maybe tried to call Nietzsche on as a guest, but who knows. I didn't even really realize until I was sitting in here with Joe Bannister, who we had on earlier in the week via phone, who, of course, I've been interviewing now for about 14 years or so, or 13 years. Since about 99, right? So I guess about 13 years. He is here in studio with us. And Robert G. Bernhoft is also here in studio with us. He was Wesley Snipes' lawyer who got him off on all of the felonies with the IRS. And when they arrested Joe Bannister for his thought crimes a few years ago, Mr. Bernhoft was able to get I don't want to say get him off because he didn't do anything, but the point is it's hard to beat the criminal IRS. And I'm very excited. I didn't know this. I knew that you were, in the Midwest, or what was it, Milwaukee?
Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Alex, yeah.
Yeah, so now you've moved to Austin, Texas. So I was saying during the break, if I ever need a good lawyer, thank God you're here. I should be groveling because, I mean, it's hard to find good lawyers. But just amazing to have both of you here in studio, Robert G. Bernhoft. And again, the website is bernhoftlaw.com, BERNHOFTlaw.com, and Joe Bannister, agentfortruth.com. So, gentlemen, I don't know where to start. Where should we start here today?
Well, first of all, we came down to Austin. My firm did because that's where all the troublemakers are, and we figured this is a good place to be. And that's partly true, but we're really liking it here in Austin. Great people, a lot of energy, and, of course, this show is here, so we're having fun.
Yeah, now that you're here in town, look out. Well, you're our legal expert. Good to have you here.
Thank you.
In fact, I wanted to get you on the TV show tonight, so hopefully next time you're both in town, come back, because I forgot I'm shooting for a documentary film today, a film crew's here. So we've got to work it out somehow to get that done. Okay, I'm excited. I'm going to shut up. Tell us about your take on the IRS, the big scandals coming out, all the rest of the corruption. It seems like the veil is lifting, that we really do have a corporate mafia in control that exempts itself from the fraudulent laws that they put in place.
Yeah, I think that's right, Alex. And one of the hot topics in academic commentators, the federal judiciary, and defense practitioners is government misconduct. After former Senator Ted Stevens and the subornation of perjury, falsification of evidence, and the scandal about that. What I'm seeing now is a cascade of investigative and prosecutorial misconduct that's infecting the courts. The difference now over the past 4 or 5 years is that it's being exposed to some extent. We will never know what sort of investigative or prosecutorial misconduct lay behind Cho's investigation and prosecution because we did not get all the discovery we were entitled to. But I remember getting the call from Joe after the arrest, and that was a traumatic time, I know, for him and his family. And we were able to jump in and help, and we were grateful to be able to do it.
Let's go through that case before Wesley Snipes, because, I mean, you're just winning and winning and winning in a system where it's almost impossible to win. Tommy Crier, God bless him, died this year. He was able to defeat them. When you can get a jury trial, I mean, is that how you're able to do this, actually exposing the fraud?
Yeah, absolutely. The last bastion of freedom, the interposition between government power and the executive and the citizens like Joe, is the jury. Now, there's unfortunately, the quality of the jurors that we're seeing in jury pools, it's a function of American culture. We have a lot of people that watch too much TV, that listen to government propaganda. It's very difficult to get free-thinking, individualist-type people on juries. So one of the things that you have to do is pay attention to your jury selection. Joe's jury, we like diversity on our juries. And, I'll be candid about this. For example, the African-American community has a different perspective of the system than white America does generally. They have had an experience with the system. They're suspicious of system state.
Not as naive.
That's a great way to put it. And they're more inclined to think and listen carefully to what otherwise other Americans might shut out. You know, how could it be that the government who wears the white hats indicts a good guy? Well, you know, the government comes into court with the white hats on. Joe's supposed to have the black hat on. And our trial theme was, no, they indicted the good guy. And so we tried to switch the hats. And that's a tough concept for most Americans. But thank God we still have jury trials in all of our criminal cases. And unanimity is required. It's got to be 12 unanimous jurors giving a unanimous verdict. And that's your last chance. That's your last chance to defend yourself. The other thing that's going on, of course, is it's an exemplar of despotic systems that they use their judicial process to single out and punish dissenters. That's always been the case throughout world history, but it's a real shame and it's a disgrace that the American federal criminal judicial process increasingly is being used as a forum to target and punish principal dissenters. And so that's the state of the American judicial process today.
Well, it's scary. It's like you say, Joe. Hey, I'm not saying don't pay them, even though it's all a fraud. They'll break your legs. I mean, they'll worse than that. They'll put you in prison for 20 years and take everything you got. I'd rather have my legs broken than that 10 times. I mean, this is vicious what you went through. I know most of our listeners are aware of your story, but look at what happened to, you know, just the guest I had on the other day, the IRS.
Sure. Hey,
yeah, Sherry Peel Jackson. I mean, she did nothing wrong. And for her speech, look at Irwin Schiff in prison for a book in America.
Book burning. Book burning is alive in America. We don't burn them anymore. We issue injunctions against their publication and dissemination. And that's what the court issued against Schiff prior to the criminal trial. The court enjoined Schiff from printing and publishing his book upon pain of contempt. I mean, it's interesting that even the Library Association of America came out in support of Schiff on that point. And it's also interesting that in an age where court decisions have said that free speech covers books on how to stalk, torture, and kill people, how to identify and groom children for sexual abuse. And that's free speech. You know, that stuff's out there. That's okay. But God forbid someone like Irwin Schiff wants to print his thoughts and research conclusions about the scope and nature of the tax. That's something you burn the book.
Well, I mean, he found the key to it and proved all their fraud after decades of research, and they said, you're going to a dungeon.
Yeah, and the other types of speech that, I'm libertarian, but nevertheless, some of that speech is abhorrent. First Amendment covers that, but it doesn't cover Irwin.
Yeah, you have to protect the abhorrent stuff or we lose our good stuff.
That's right. You know, there was a famous Supreme Court justice that made a really great, profound comment. We tolerate the speech we hate because someday our speech might be hated. So I'm good with that. I'm a libertarian. I believe in the principles of this country. But what we're having now is selective identification of speech that the state deems subversive, harmful, or dangerous. back in the old days, frankly, we used to talk about our founders and the Middle Ages and then 1600s, 1700s, and there was torture going on in terms of criminal punishment. And now we're so much more civilized. And I don't think that's the case. In fact,
no, they just make it more sophisticated and more covers.
That's
there's
right.
more velvet gloves.
That's right.
What and were we going to say? Interrupted.
No, it has a perception of being more civilized. But in fact, if you were a heretic before in the colonies, and you said something that was they considered blasphemous, they'd put you in the stock for a day, a little public humiliation, and then they, you know, repatriated you to your family and to your home. They had to live in a community. And today we're much more civilized. We try and put people like Joe Bannister in federal prison for 15, 16 years.
And they're now grabbing people I've seen that have protested, the famous doctor case, what, Sell, up in Missouri, where he's been in there for 15 years now, forced drugged, they never having a trial, but he's in prison drugged for Medicare, Medicaid fraud, they claimed. I mean, now they drug you or electroshock you because of your views. That's like the old Soviet Union.
It's barbaric. It's absolutely barbaric. And when you take a look at the U.S. sentencing guidelines, which determines sentencing ranges, and we take a look at the so-called white-collar guidelines, particularly regarding tax, and you have people that, you know, failed to pay a little bit of tax on a couple years of income, and the sentencing ranges can be 5 to 10 years in federal prison. Everything is upside down. You can be out of a state prison in California on a murder one charge, 6.9 years, something like that. You know, but if you run afoul of the IRS, look forward to a double-digit sentence. And this is systematic. This is not, this isn't accidental. This is absolute intentional policy that's being passed by Congress, enforced by its agency, the Internal Revenue Service. America.
This guy ought to have a radio show. No wonder he's winning with all these juries. Hey, wow, amazing. Again, we have Joe Bannister and Robert G. Bernhoft, his incredible lawyer. You got to go to bernhoftlaw.com because I've followed your cases and then I'm running around here with 20 things happening and you guys are here. And then it kind of reclicks. You know, Joe goes, you know, he's the guy that's won all these other cases too. And I'm just realizing how rare that is. Yeah. Why have you been so successful when very few others have? And we're going to skip this break because it's so important, guys. Go ahead.
Yeah, the conviction rate generally is around about body temperature in federal criminal trials, 95, 96%, take your statistic. The way we approach these cases is, first of all, we have aggressive motion practice to get the discovery that our clients are entitled to. And there's various rules in cases. So we're very aggressive about getting discovery. And the devil's in the details, and the government's thematics, and sometimes investigative misconduct lurks in the discovery. And then we prepare. It's about preparation, mastery of information, and it's also having an understanding of human nature. You know, this is an age where we want to change human nature. We don't want to acknowledge it. We acknowledge the functions of human nature, how it plays out. And, you know, court trials are theater dramatics where the stakes are very, very high. You have to understand what makes people tick. When you pick a jury, you have to look at those people as individuals, ask them a few questions. And they will tell you things about themselves without even realizing it. So jury selection, and Joe assisted me at counsel table with jury selection in his trial. And you have to have good people instincts, and you have to be aggressive, and you have to know the law. But picking a jury is crucially important, as it was in Joe's case.
And you're right. It is theater. People say, why do they do a year or 14-month million-dollar investigation of Amish selling cheese and milk to their neighbors? Turns out the neighbors have moved in and demand they sell them their milk and cheese that their community's eating so they could take it across state lines and sell it to make it a federal case. Then they SWAT team them and get them down on the ground when they're a known nonviolent sect for 400 years. And all of this goes on. People say, why do they do that? So they can show an ignorant jury who doesn't know what Amish are, doesn't know the history of anything. Like, look, they're bad. We wouldn't have SWAT teamed them. And all of it is just dress-up theater.
Absolutely. Increasingly, you know, especially in tax cases, especially in non-filing, and I'm not afraid to say it, tax protester cases. I mean, I did a case in Boston a few months ago, and they were completing building the Tea Party Museum right there in sight of the courthouse. And so we took the government's epithet, its defamatory epithet, and we said, no, we'll accept that. That's right. My clients are principal tax protesters. And they're protesting taxation without explanation. Wrote letters to the IRS, asked for the code section that made them liable. No answers. And we reached that jury on a pretty good level. So it is drama. And increasingly, these prosecutions are done by misleading the jury about things they don't know about, can't be expected to know. Misleading the jury about tax law, about how accounting is done. And in Joe's case, of course, it's just the drumbeat that this guy's dangerous. If you don't convict this guy, he's going to get to the children.
But if we rediscover 1776, common sense says the government's dangerous.
Absolutely. We were very aggressive in Joe's trial. My co-counsel, Jeff Dickstein, did an incredible job. And he put to the jury, which side is the con on? Which side is the con on? They charged Joe Bannister with conspiracy.
Conspiracy.
What is that name? Conspiracy. And we put it to the jury. You cannot win these cases by half measures. You can't go in there with soft themes.
I agree. People say Wake Up America being nice. No, I never calculated anything. I'm aggressive like a bull in a china shop. Absolutely. That's what gets results, the truth.
That's right. And you have to break through the barriers of people from seeing the truth. And you look at Joe's case again. I mean, he was...
Did you go with this angle, too? I mean, because I followed Charles some of the news, but was so busy, mm-hmm. Was just following it in the paper and talking to Joe some on the phone, but I don't have a little inside stuff. But I would have made the point, he was moving up. He had a career. He had everything. He just did this to warn people of the truth. Why would he lose everything? They're the liars.
That is a really interesting point, because the government's playbook in criminal tax is greed. You know, he chose to play, and then they point to the jury, well, you chose to pay. They create class economic envy and responsibility envy. They tried to trot that theme out in Joe's case.
Closing argument, especially.
Closing argument.
But you lost everything.
Yeah, he put everything on the line, and yet the greed was the function, the factor. It was extraordinary. It wasn't plausible, and the jury didn't buy it.
Did you tell the story how he set out to disprove the tax protesters?
Absolutely. Yeah, it was tons of great testimony and evidence. And, of course, Joe, being a man of integrity, had former colleagues that were videotaped in a deposition talking about what a great special agent he was, the integrity, the discipline, the work ethic. So it was a tough go for the government.
And that was their evidence, but it blew up in their face.
That's right. They put the evidence of...
I find that more and more. They'll stand up a huge room of like 500 Marines, officers, and say, you will not watch Alex Jones. You will give people demerits and write them up, and we'll kick them out if they watch it three times. And then all of them go watch it and then tell everybody...
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network. The answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
The websites to check out are agentfortruth.com. That's Joe Bannister's. And there's Bob G. Bernhoff's website, bernhofflaw.com. And I can tell you, if I ever have the collection agency for the Private Federal Reserve come after me, I know who I'm going to get right over here. I hope I can get him. You were telling me that I was saying, boy, I bet killing is their business and business is good for them. I bet you trying to save people, I bet your business is just booming.
You know, it is, and it's a bit of a mental torture, because business is business, and in making a living, there's nothing to apologize for making a living.
But it's grueling, too.
It is. It takes its toll, and you deal with a lot of human road meat, the grist mill of the government. They grind people up, spit them out, don't look back. And it's particularly in trials where you have convictions, those are extraordinarily difficult. You get to know people very well over a 2-3 year period, and if there's not a good outcome at trial... you don't sleep very well for a very, very long time. I remember the good ones, and there have been plenty of those.
Because it's like a fight, isn't it? And if you lose as a man, you really feel like you lost.
Oh, yeah. I disappear for several weeks after any trial, win, lose, or draw. I just got to disappear for a while and get my head together. We use sort of symbolism of combat. It is. I called up the government in a case the other day. I said, boys, you all ready to sheathe your swords and stop the bloodletting? They were kind of shocked by that, and they kind of paused for 10 or 15 minutes, and I mean, but that's what it is. Trials are combat. And I tell my clients, some of them really want to charge forward to trial, and there's too much machismo going on. And I say, look, a couple of things I want to mention. Number one, there's going to be blood everywhere, and we're going to measure the victors by the buckets of blood. That's reality at trials. And secondly, I always get to go home after the trials. So you have to have a sense of humility.
It's better to win the war strategically by never getting to the battlefield.
Oh, no question. And, of course, we do a lot of representation that nobody sees, doesn't make the news, where we're helping people out of audits, collection, criminal investigations.
Just letting the IRS know, hey, go pick on somebody else.
Well, I think there is an element to that because, you know, we practice aggressively but collegially and professionally, and I think my counterparts in the government that are opposite me respect that. So, I think we do help our clients just by entering the fray and solving problems rather than just trial work. We do a ton of other stuff that nobody sees. But
Yeah, I've noticed that because I've got a really good lawyer here in town, and it just immediately gets people's attention. A lot of times, pretty big operation stuff comes up from time to time. Immediately, if you have a small lawyer, I mean, you know that, but for the audience, I'm just telling them that, yeah, that it really does matter.
Well, it does matter. And the other thing is that we're not, you know, increasingly a huge percentage of federal criminal indictments are resolved by plea agreement. And there's a huge coercion from the sentencing guidelines. I mean, you've got a businessman, he's indicted for tax. If he gets dinged with a felony count at trial, he does 7 to 8 years. Maybe the plea's 18 months, 24 months. So this has a hugely coercive effect to get pleas. Now, when we come to a case, we do trials. We're not afraid of trials, and we win a lot of our trials. So immediately, our government counterparts understand, okay, this isn't going to be a bagman plea case. This case could go to trial, and they start counting their cost and their risk. You know, what's the problem?
Yeah, they'd rather feed on a bunch of innocent old ladies, ruin their lives, grab wedding rings off their fingers, you know, just let them commit suicide, yeah, than actually go up against people that'll fight back.
Absolutely.
They operate like muggers.
Well, easy targets. Easy targets, when you have a predator type of system, that those predators will go after the easy targets because it's the path of least resistance.
Well, you know what you're talking about because I've just experienced this 17 years on air and getting out there and doing stuff in the, you know, up against these crooks, and that's how I see it. Some of them are Dudley Do-Rights from my experience who are stupid and are made fun of by the higher-ups. That's really how this works. But these are just criminals on the top that know exactly what they're doing, and I don't know how they sleep at night wrecking the families, doing the things they've done to people.
Yeah, you know, the rationalization, justification for putting people in prison for double digits over tax. By the way, we're the only country of the so-called civilized industrial nations that has criminal tax at all. Criminal tax is the exception. Now, Russia, former Soviet Union, Russia, North Korea, China, you know, it's a wonderful series of countries that have a criminal tax regime. That's not good company. We should not have criminal tax in the United States.
That's my next question for you, and Joe, pop in any time. You know, they grab the kids in Russia, the orphans, train them to be tax enforcers, and they beat you up as well. So I guess it's the only country worse than us. Well, I mean, you're the expert. Is Russia worse than the U.S.?
Yeah, well, the Russian tax police, that's a whole different world.
Really a mafia, I mean.
It is. But the fact is that civilized nations, truly civilized nations, do not criminalize something like tax. If you owe the government money, the government has plenty of mechanisms to get that money from you. But to put people in prison for owing tax liability or not filing the proper form.
North Korea, China, Russia, Nazi Germany, not good company.
Well, you know, that's the company we're in. And I argued with David K. Johnson from the New York Times about that. He was appalled by my idea that criminal tax demonstrated we were uncivilized. Well, it does. And I've argued with Nathan Hochman, former Assistant U.S. Attorney General Tax Division for the United States. He was appalled by that notion.
Let me ask you a question. I want to go back to the Wesley Snipes because we got cut off by a break, then we went off another direction. But finish up on this point. Is all the criminality and government coming out in triplicate and the fact that the IRS is giving out fake ID numbers and letting people steal and get fake returns, the illegals and all the rest of this, and then even blaming citizens when those get attached to Social Security numbers and using the fraud the IRS engaged in as a way to go grab citizens' bank accounts and things? I mean, is it making it easier for you to do your job as people begin to realize also that the ultra-rich basically have exempted themselves as well?
I think there is a general awareness, you know, and I'm not going to do an explicitly political thing. I like dissenters. I want more dissenters in America. I want more people that are going to rock the boat. So the Tea Party movement for me was a good thing because it showed that there could be a vibrant, robust political movement that wasn't party-centric. And it doesn't matter whether I endorse what they believe or not. I like the communist workers. I like the socialist workers party. I want people that are going to rock the boat and diselect Democrats and Republicans. And I think there's a mood in the country of deepening suspicion. I think Congress's popularity is down around, and I'm not trying to dismiss.
9%.
It's really low. These are huge problems. I mean, once you lose the consent of the governed, you don't have a legitimate.
You either go back to freedom or you go to North Korea.
Absolutely. And that's where we're treading. But I believe that there's an increasing awakening in Americans regarding suspicion of the system, suspicion of statements by government. And I think that's positive. I have hope, you know, I have hope that more Americans will recognize that these are political problems. They're not necessarily legal ones. We don't need more legislation. We need less. And they need to get out there and start voting for people who are going to be truly independent.
Well, I agree. Anybody that isn't in the cookie cutter mold is the way to go, just because it shakes up the system. This type of tyranny depends on a very smooth road to get away, you know, with the crimes. Let me bring this up. I also see this endless demonization of defense attorneys by media, by culture. Oh, they're the scum. They're the trash. From my experience, everybody deserves a good defense, because government is the big danger. It's what killed more people in history than anything else. 262 million in the last century. University of Hawaii did a study on democide. It's the big danger. And I have found that it's the political prosecutors, because there's good prosecutors too that'll go to the wall to really get bad guys. But more and more, they just make deals and let them out. They want, I notice, these prosecutors to hammer down good people that are just trying to live their lives. And for me, that's why I thank God for the defense attorneys. And I see this move to try to demonize defense attorneys, quote, getting bad guys off, and letting it go to courts. Boy, if they do that, they've already neutered the grand jury. All we're left with is the cartridge box.
Yeah, there's a lot of pandering going on from mainstream media about defense attorneys and evil defense attorneys. Seems to be a general program of defamation. The fact is that in the criminal defense realm, we're accountable in open court on the record more so than any of the civil attorneys are. They can play games with discovery and engage in litigation thuggery, while we're always accountable on the record every 30 to 60 days for what we're doing and how we're doing it. My experience with the Federal Criminal Defense Bar is generally very positive. There's exceptions to that. And I notice you mentioned something, Alex, and I want to make a point about this. I know some really fine lawyers and fine men at U.S. Department of Justice Tax Division that I've been opposite in cases, and local prosecutors who believe in what they're doing, who follow the rules, who don't violate the Constitution and laws of the United States respecting discovery to the defense. And really, one of the things that really bothers me is all of those good men and women that are actually inside the system and are behaving with integrity, they get stroked with all of this massive misconduct.
Well, that's the problem. The good people get out historically, and then the criminals create little armies that then expand and then take over.
Yes, when bad conduct is incentivized rather than disincentive, it does drive out the ethical and the good and the men and women that want to do a public service. Because there's bad guys out there. We live in a dangerous world. And I believe in law and order, even though I'm a libertarian, but I believe in law and order. And I'm an objective moralist.
That means law and order in the government first.
Absolutely. The government is the great teacher. We learn by them. If the government breaks the rules and gets away with it with impunity, what does that teach the citizen?
Fish rots from the head.
Absolutely.
Some things roll downhill. Joe, you've been sitting here. This guy's amazing. Because I've seen him on TV before. I was sitting here looking. I see this guy over television. He's impressive. I mean, we know why he's one of the best lawyers out there, I guess. How did you snag this guy? I guess because you're a good guy, too.
Well, a month or two after I resigned from the IRS in 99, really right around the same time that you first interviewed me, I get a call from this Bob Bernhoff from Milwaukee. And, you know, I was like a deer caught in the headlights. I just wanted to make a living to support my family and leave the IRS behind. But people were calling me and wanting to get in contact with me. So that's when I first met Bob and had no idea the extent of the monster that was out there eating people up. And so it helped me to understand that. And then I became involved in it. And of course, that's what led to the IRS, you know, really taking a disliking to me after I left, because I was trying to get into that apparatus. I was not trying to get into the apparatus. People wanted me to come in and help the effort.
No, I know you were drug into it.
I didn't want, I had enough of the IRS, frankly. But
I remember at first I was trying to get you back on the radio and stuff. And you're like, I don't know right now. I might just be a CPA. I might blah, blah, blah. But But now,
well, you've been with me since the beginning, Alex. I mean, I was just that was like March or
who was it? Was it Media Bypass you were first in?
Yeah,
Pat Shannon called me. That's right. Like, we need to get Pat Shannon back on. He was on my radio show talking about Oklahoma City being a staged event, and he said, "Hey, I'm doing a story on this, you know, Treasury agent who investigated things and woke things up. You ought to talk to him." And I said, "Okay, well, what's his number?" And so I had gone out and interviewed you by the time his newspaper article or magazine article came out. Now that my memory gets refreshed, very exciting.
Yeah, that was the tax issue for 1999.
But you've now been through the fire, my friend.
Well, thanks to, unfortunately, you're not innocent until proven guilty. You need to find someone who can communicate your innocence. And I've just been blessed to have Mr. Bernhoft, Mr. Dick Stein, people that could communicate to the jury. No, the government really doesn't deserve that reputation for honesty and integrity that you think they have. Open up your mind and listen to the, and, you know, look at the evidence. And that's what it took. And they acquitted me.
Mr. Bernhoft, let me ask you a question on this front. Can you bring in, let's say you were doing a trial right now of another, you know, agent, a whistleblower, somebody like our guest here today. What could you bring in the fact that John Corzine was allowed to take billions of dollars and say he doesn't know where it went? And then now they admit he really did give it to another bank. I mean, could you bring up, hey, the big bankers, they get to keep billions, but he hasn't done anything and he's in trouble? Or no. Is that not admissible?
No, it's not. You know, that stuff doesn't come in now. There's an old Supreme Court case that says that in closing argument, defense attorneys have to be given wings to soar. Now, that's a great quote, and it's true. But you can only bring in testimony and evidence that's going to be relevant to the charges to either that tend to disprove them. We can bring in impeachment evidence against government witnesses, and we can certainly do that.
Could you say this same government lets John Corzine take billions that disappear, but then they want to send him to jail when he hasn't taken a single cent?
That can be done, and that can be done in closing argument. Closing argument in Joe's case was very, very aggressive. I mean, there was talk of jackbooted thugs and all sorts of interesting things. But no, you can do that. Testimony and evidence is one thing, but closing argument, you can draw parallels. You can put it to the jury that they've got a decision to make, that there's a double standard operating here, and that the government is not behaving correctly towards your client, the defendant, who's in the block and stands to go to prison for 15, 16 years.
Finishing up with Wesley Snipes, we got a final segment. You guys can talk about whatever you'd like. I'm just in awe here, you know, hearing all of this. You had gotten to the point of how they were trying to try the case in the media and claiming he'd run from justice. And I remember right away in the news, you guys went, this is propaganda. He was always intending to be here. Here he is.
Right. We had to, whatever jury was finally in that box in the courtroom, and I'll tell you something, Judge William Terrell Hodges was an excellent judge. He's very hard-nosed. But I tell you what, he was a great evidence man, a great evidence judge, and he gave us a fair trial. Now, we fought for that fair trial through motion practice, and there's a certain thing that happens between advocates and federal judges who preside over particularly criminal trials, and you either obtain a respect for each other or you don't. But nobody gets any respect in the federal criminal process by not being aggressive and advocating zealously for your client. But in the Snipes case, you've got to get people to reject that propaganda, the misinformation, and we consistently said, look, 12 people are going to be in that jury box, and they're the ones who are going to hear actual testimony and evidence, not rumor, not innuendo, not propaganda, and those are the themes that we beat. We drilled those themes, and we had to. I did a walk and talk with Steve Barrett, great reporter from Orlando, a TV station down there, and we pummeled back against this propaganda. If you don't do that, those jurors are going to go in there with absolute misinformation in their minds, and they won't pay attention to the actual truth, the actual testimony and evidence, and then you're in trouble. And that's when you lose, and that's when you get convicted. And that's what would have happened down there, no question about it. The other thing is, you know, there was some discovery violations in the Snipes case. Those never became really public. We were really put to it by the prosecution team. They were revealing sometimes hundreds of pages of crucial documents the day after a particular trial day at 5:30, and we had to spend all night mastering that material so we could step up the next morning. It was a very, very difficult.
They were hoping you'd be lazy and go back to the hotel and get a scotch, but you'd have to stay up all night.
I'll tell you something. People have a misapprehension of how trials work. Once you go, we call it going into the trial hole. You go into the trial hole, you are off the grid. Nobody, you don't even know.
If you're a winner.
Absolutely. You've got to be prepared to get a couple of hours of sleep a night, take it seriously, and the work is extraordinary. Nobody sees that. That's all that work that goes behind the scenes. Joe can testify to that. Mm. How many nights?
And the defendant
up to?
Better jump in and paddle along.
That's another thing. People think high powered lawyers, because the media acts like they just show up in a helicopter and win because they're it's a real work.
And some of it's extremely tedious. You know, you got a case. The Snipes case had over 1 million pages of discovery documents. You don't master those documents, you're going to lose. And that's the sort of paging through page after page after page. I mean,
that's where the nuggets come from.
Yeah, I think you had 58 boxes of discovery, a couple hundred thousand pages. So that's the sort of work that goes on behind the scenes. Trial success is a function of knowledge, skill, experience, but most importantly, mastery of the facts and the documents. If you're not willing to get dirty, roll up your sleeves with your team and your client like Joe, who helped us through his discovery, and drill down night after night.
Well, that sounds like life in general. I mean, the system counts on us just being lazy, buying the surface. We'll be right back. Final incredible segment with both our guests. I'm Alex Jones, InfoWars.com.
There's a man going around taking names. And he decides who to free.
We're ending this segment, this interview, with a good song.
Won't be treated
Johnny Cash, when the man comes around.
There'll be a golden ladder reaching down.
When the man comes around. Robert G. Bernhoff, probably the most... I mean, I can't think of anybody more preeminent than you when it comes to tax stuff. Honored to have you. And I can't think of somebody more honorable and preeminent when it comes to standing up for what's right. They'll make a movie about your life. Joe Bannister, agentfortruth.com, agentfortruth.com. And again, Bernhoft Law.com, BERNHOFT Law.com. We'll make sure both these get linked up at InfoWars.com today. And if you're a radio listener on XM or on our 100-plus stations, by tomorrow... we will have this up on YouTube for everybody, not just people watching at prisonplanet.tv. And so please get this video and get it out to everybody. That's a question I have for you, Robert. When does the man come to town? Because earlier you said we're treading water between North Korea and liberty. We're going to choose one or the other. We're going to go back the other direction towards freedom, or we're going to go down the black hole. I mean, is the man going to come around? People are waking up, but the system is deciding to go with tyranny. How do you see this with your considerable gravitas? How do you see this ending? I mean, what's your gut tell you?
Wow. That's a heavy and loaded question. It's a great one. In my sphere, putting aside from politics, if we don't stop, if we don't stem this epidemic of investigative and prosecutorial misconduct, we're in deep trouble. If our federal criminal process continues to be debauched by concealment and deceit, ethics violations, constitutional violations, it's over for the American Republic. I mean, we used to be sort of like the lighthouse on the hill, the example of great judicial systems. The whole world looked to the United States for our rules of evidence, of procedure, our process, our jury trials. We're losing that. We're becoming a laughingstock. Yeah, the great Americans, they can't even get a fair trial for a former sitting United States senator. If we don't stem it,
look at how they put that governor in jail in Alabama for no reason.
Yeah.
That was admitted a fraud.
Yeah. And the amazing thing about the former Senator Stevens prosecution, and there's thousands of these cases, that one gets all the publicity because he was a former U.S. senator, and that shifted the balance of power in the United States Senate. But when you think about the Stevens case, that was prosecuted by the highest level of Department of Justice in Washington, the Office of Public Integrity, OPR. They couldn't get that right. And they want to say that line AUSAs, assistant U.S. attorneys, really understand the discovery rules. This needs to stop. And responsible prosecutors are for changing the rules and disciplining prosecutors who do not follow the rules. Federal judges are getting sick and tired of
this. Well, what about when it comes out that we've got to do 5 minutes overdrive? You can do it just to finish up this little addendum we have, kind of like that little extra reserve tank. How do they get away with this? Because more and more it's just coming out that the sky's the limit. I think they're doing it on purpose, basically.
Well, the incentives are to win at all cost. And when you have an incentive to do that, people start breaking the rules. And then they start becoming rewarded for breaking the rules with conviction rates, promotions, and the things that they want. And then they recognize that they never get caught. And if they do get caught, they never get punished.
Well, you saw the case in Williamson County. It's a famous one where they knew the guy really didn't do it, but and they suppressed evidence and they tried to keep the guy in prison. I mean, how does somebody try to put into people who aren't even criminals? It's bad enough to set up an ex-con and send them away, but, well, they shouldn't have been out. But now it's just set up totally innocent people?
Yeah, you look at the prosecutor in the non-rape Duke LaCrosse case, for example, which, of course, no rape occurred. And that was all politics by that prosecutor. He's the only prosecutor that's been meaningfully disciplined for massive government misconduct in a very, very long time. So what happens is, even if the judge makes what's called a judicial referral of a prosecutor to the Bar Association where that prosecutor has his license, the bars don't discipline the prosecutors.
Tell you what, back in 1 minute, a 5 minute overdrive. I've got to hear more about the LaCrosse case. Stay.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Waging war on corruption. Alex Jones on GCN Radio Network. Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've got a very special presentation lined up for you in the next 60 minutes. And I'm presenting this not because I think it, but because I know it. And I've seen the dramatic results. And this is a major revolution against the globalist. Getting the fluoride out of the water is, well, I'm going to talk more about it later in the hour. Getting the GMO out of our lives that they're trying to assault us with. But the trace elements, minerals, and vitamins, when you get it all together, it helps battle all the other stuff. But they want you sick, the medical system, Big Pharma, they don't want you to know. They know, they knew in the 20s sodium fluoride brain damaged you. They know MSG is toxic and causes neurological disorders. And they know that most of these illnesses are mineral and vitamin deficiencies. Well, joining us is pharmacist, compounding pharmacist of more than 20 years, Ben Fuchs. He's a syndicated radio host here on the GCN network, GCNlive.com. And he joins us. He's part of InfoWarsTeam.com as well, and one of our advisors. We've got medical doctors, veterinarians, naturopaths, all advising us at InfoWarsTeam.com. You can see those videos posted there in Aaron's testimonial. But that's not why this is here today. That's not why we're covering this. We are going to engage in the public service of going through everything, of going through all the vitamins, all the minerals, and then trace elements, just bam, 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 quickly, and then we can go back through other issues that the system doesn't want you to know. I had a family member who I noticed was only drinking Coca-Colas about 5 years ago. They were old. They were pretty much going to die, and I just begged him. I said, if you will just start drinking water, your body, you're dehydrated because Coca-Cola and things and iced tea, you name it, is what is it called? A diuretic. It makes you urinate more. You drink 20 ounces, you urinate 25 ounces. I said, you look like beef jerky. You got to drink water. And they got mad at me and stuff and started drinking water and looked like a new person. Again, it's like simple. Your teeth will fall out and old wounds will open up and your hair will fall out if you don't get vitamin C. And we got these food deserts out there, not just in poor areas, everywhere. Pharmacist Ben Fuchs joins us after this break. He is waiting in the wings right now. In fact, Pharmacist Ben, we got 2 minutes till we got a break. Tell us what's coming up today. You've lined up an incredible presentation.
Well, I got lots of stuff to talk about. Thank you for the intro, Alex. Thank you for the kind words. There's a lot of stuff in the news. I like the Consumer Reports article that came out a couple of weeks ago. 10 surprising dangers of vitamins and supplements. I'd love to be able to address that. There was a study that came out, I think it was last week, in the Journal of Nature Medicine. Chemotherapy can actually cause cancer. I thought that was pretty fascinating. Let's see. Statin drugs linked with development of cataracts. What else do you want to talk about here, Alex? There's the sugary drink ban in New York, and the digital pill they want you to swallow that will give doctors the real-time scoop on what's happening inside your body. That could be kind of interesting. How about dentists wanting us to drink more fluoride? They don't like bottled water because people aren't getting enough fluoride. We can talk about that, too. Lots of stuff here we can talk about. Diabetes drugs raise the risk of bladder cancer. Statin drugs raise the risk of diabetes. There are tons of good stuff, Alex.
I want to go over all those studies, but I heard your show a few days ago. Maybe it was just a couple days ago. And you were going over just this mineral. When you have this deficiency, does this. This vitamin deficiency does that. This pancreatic problem caused by this. And the system knows that. So, you know, we talked a few days ago, and you sent a whole big rundown of documents and articles and studies. And so I want to go over just at first the different vitamins and then what those deficiencies do, different minerals, what is needed, what the really cool cofactors are, trace elements, things like that, with pharmacist Ben Fuchs. And then we'll get into all those news items that you just mentioned straight ahead. I'm Alex Jones with pharmacist Ben Fuchs. InfoWarsTeam.com's got our latest videos up there right now.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, he's back by popular demand. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Alex Jones on this Wednesday, 15th day of August 2012 edition. Compounding pharmacist Ben Fuchs will be with us for the rest of the hour, syndicated radio host and an advisor to InfoWarsTeam.com. And we're going to get later into the fact they want to put statin drugs in the water. They want to put more fluoride in food for kids, even though the government admits it's killing them. They're saying don't eat yolk and eggs. It's more dangerous than smoking. Now they want to tax that. Just all of this incredible nanny state. Meanwhile, big pharma, big medical notes that most illnesses in their own documents, and we have them right here, we're going to go over them today, that their own documents show that they know that most diseases are vitamin, mineral, trace element, and cofactor deficiencies. They know why pancreatic cancer is way up. They know why type 2 diabetes is way up. They know why cancer is way up. They knew in the 20s sodium fluoride and other forms of fluoride put in the water causes a sevenfold increase in bone cancer alone and reduced IQ. Harvard came out last week in a decades-plus-long study and said, combining a whole bunch of other studies, and said, yeah, this is happening. They know. They know it all. They know. The average doctor does it. They just follow what they're told. But this is a real revolution against tyranny. Just like the British, and I've told this story many times, 300 plus years ago, their Academy of Sciences, their Royal Academy, discovered whatever was in green vegetables and fruits, vitamin C later discovered, but they knew if you had that, your old wounds didn't open up, you stayed healthy, your teeth didn't fall out with scurvy. So all the other navies, the French, the Spanish, they made fun of them and called them limeys. And they made fun of Germans because they ate kraut. Oh, you eat kraut. Oh, you eat limes. Limeys. Brits are called limeys, but their navy was able to take over because of vitamin C. The system knows this, so they want you to have adulterated food with all these toxic additives, hundreds of things you eat at different fast foods places, hundreds of fried confections have on record silicone in them. They can call it an additive and have you eat it. So here is pharmacist Ben Fuchs to run through vitamins, minerals, trace elements, and key cofactors that when you don't have them, they know is causing these debilitating disorders and diseases. Pharmacist Ben Fuchs, great to have you here today.
Thank you, Alex. Appreciate it.
You've got the floor. Start breaking it down.
Okay, yeah, well, it's interesting that you brought up vitamin C first because truly vitamin C is the king of vitamins. It's so fundamental to health. It's pretty much impossible to think of a disease state or a breakdown state that vitamin C doesn't improve. The first thing that comes to mind with vitamin C deficiency is what you said, scurvy. But what's really important to understand about scurvy is the fact that you can have sub clinical scurvy. By the time scurvy hits, you're in big trouble. But scurvy doesn't all of a sudden happen. Scurvy builds up. Scurvy is basically a disease where the body destroys itself. The body's main connective tissue protein is called collagen. Without vitamin C, you cannot make collagen, period. Collagen is not only the most fundamental structural protein in the body, it's the most fundamental protein in the body. Without collagen, without vitamin C, you can't make collagen. That means, number one, your blood vessels will not be strong. Ultimately, your blood vessels will break down. I think it's ironic how people are so focused on cholesterol and they're not focused on vitamin C, considering one of the ways the body patches up weak blood vessels is by depositing cholesterol plaques in those blood vessels. Dr. Matthias Rath has written extensively about this in a really neat book called Why Animals Don't Get Heart Attacks. And he talks about how animals make their own vitamin C, and animals don't get heart attacks because they make their own vitamin C and their blood vessels are strong and whole. How much of, one has to wonder when you see the link between vitamin C and the strength of blood vessels, how much of heart disease is simply a vitamin C deficiency disease? Not only that, but vitamin C is key, a fundamental player in the immune system. So if you're dealing with frequent colds, if you're getting cold sores.
Well, hold on. Hold your horses there, pharmacist Ben Fuchs, or hold your rats, because the British manuals going back up to 300 years ago said if you can't find fresh green vegetables or fruits, eat rats. They had discovered that whatever was in the fruit was in the intestines of ship rats, and that they would then gobble the guts of rats raw. So again, what you just said, most mammals produce it. Why don't we produce our own vitamin C?
Nobody really knows why, but they think it has something to do with the fact that we were eating fruits and vegetables. It turns out that certain forms of gorillas, human beings, and guinea pigs of all critters are the only animals that don't make vitamin C. Squirrels make vitamin C, horses make vitamin C, goats make vitamin C, and what's really fascinating, Alex, is when an animal is under stress, it makes more vitamin C. Your body's key stress gland, key stress handling structure, the adrenal glands, are very high in vitamin C, and when we're under stress of any kind, whether that's emotional stress, psychological stress, and certainly physical stress, you need more vitamin C. And this gets us to the whole topic of recommended daily allowances, the RDAs, which I call the ridiculous deficiency allowance. The RDA of vitamin C, the ridiculous deficiency allowance of vitamin C, according to the government, is 60 milligrams of vitamin C. A billy goat will make 100 times that much vitamin C when it's under stress, and it makes much more than the recommended daily allowance of vitamin C, even on a daily basis. So this whole idea of vitamins being used simply to treat deficiency diseases, it is what gives rise to the recommended daily allowance that allows people to think, well, I'll just take this multiple vitamin with the RDAs and I'll be fine, or I better not take more than the RDAs or I'll be in big trouble. Nothing speaks to this fallacy more than the idea that you only need 55 or 60 milligrams of vitamin C. So your point's well taken. Animals are making their own vitamin C. We're not. That means you gotta be supplementing. It's going to be very difficult to get your vitamin C out of food. And in fact, Alice, it's very difficult to get all of the vitamins you need from food anyway. For example, with vitamin E, the recommended daily allowance of vitamin E is 14 international units. Every study that's ever been done on the protective benefits of vitamin E show that you need 400 international units of vitamin E, and even the most vitamin E dense foods are only going to give you about 40 international units. So with vitamin E, with vitamin C, with the B complex, you're not going to be able to get what you need from food, even under the best of circumstances. And this is why it's so, so important to supplement if you're healthy. And if you're sick, it is unspeakably important to get yourself on a good nutritional supplement program. So vitamin C for the connective tissue in the body. By the way, bones, a lot of people are under the impression that all you need to do is take calcium for your bones. Well, as it turns out, your bones too are made of collagen, and vitamin C is way more important for the integrity of your bones via this collagen connection than calcium is. In fact, many people call osteoporosis, the disease of bone breakdown, of weak bones, scurvy of the bones. If you have bleeding gums, if you have nosebleeds, if you have chronic bruising, if you have any kind of heart disease issues, not to mention osteoporosis and high blood pressure and joint issues and arthritis, you want to make sure that you're getting enough vitamin C. For people who are interested in skin health, vitamin C can be amazingly helpful for protecting your skin from the sun. In fact, as it turns out, using nutritional supplements is way more important for protecting your skin from the sun than any toxic sunscreen you could ever put on. And vitamin C is the king of sun protection vitamins. For folks who are out there in the sun, get some vitamin C in your body. You can even use vitamin C topically as a cream, and it's got wonderful benefits that way too.
Oh no, I've been using this vitamin C facial cream my wife's got. It's awesome, and I've really seen it make my skin a lot healthier. And obviously, Beyond Tangy Tangerine or Polymers Plus, things like that available at InfoWarsTeam.com. That would obviously be some of the best sources of vitamin C.
Heck yes. You're getting 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C per 2 scoops of the Beyond Tangy Tangerine. You know, here's the thing about the BTT, which you mentioned, the Beyond Tangy Tangerine and the Pollen Burst. They're liquid. And the rate limiting step in how much value you're going to get out of nutritional supplementation, if you understand how important nutritional supplementation is, and you don't have to do much reading to understand how important it is, then it becomes vital to recognize it's not so much what you're taking in, but it's what you're absorbing. And if you're one of the 80 million or more Americans who are dealing with digestive issues, bile issues, gallbladder issues, gastritis, pancreatitis, you can take supplements, but you may not be getting the value of them. You may
and
not
you
be
need
absorbing
those
them.
Really big dosages, from what I've read and studied from yourself and others, to really have the full effect. But you'd have to drink 2 or 3 containers of orange juice to get the same vitamin C in a Beyond Tangy Tangerine scoop. And then you'd be getting all of that bad overload of fructose that attacks the liver and everything else.
Not to mention the pesticides as well. So, now, orange juice has got a very small amount of vitamin C. You get about 30 or 40 milligrams of vitamin C in a glass of orange juice. And then, of course, you're exposing yourself to all that sugar and all those pesticides. One of the neat things about the Beyond Tangy Tangerine is the liquid format. And so if you're dealing with digestive distress, but you understand you want to get on a nutritional supplement program, you understand how important it is, please take a shot at liquid nutrition. Please take a shot at products like the Beyond Tangy Tangerine that will allow you to get the nutrition.
It's got all the other vitamins, minerals, trace elements, cofactors together to supercharge it. And I want to talk about how things work together when we come back. But separately, folks, green leafy vegetables, berries, there's a lot of great ways to get vitamin C as well. It's just the products at InfoWarsTeam.com. They're discounted, or what I'm using and what Aaron Dykes lost 92 pounds with, even though it's not advertised as a weight loss product. The food is so devoid of nutrients now because of the played out soils. You're eating and eating and eating empty calories, trying to simply get the vitamins and minerals you need. And so that's why when you finally get the vitamins and minerals you need, you don't have those cravings as bad anymore, and you can lose the weight. But see, we've only covered one vitamin. Vitamin C, the king daddy that I started with, that you started with. We didn't plan to do that. That was just, we're on the same page. Pharmacist Ben Fuchs, one of the top compounding pharmacists out there in the country, syndicated talk show host. When we come back, let's race through the other vitamins, then the minerals, then trace elements and key cofactors, because I want to know this. I was listening to your show a few days ago and just riveted, and I said, get me Ben Fuchs. And we talked off air. We got this whole file together. We just spent 20 minutes on one vitamin. Get your notepads ready, because we're going to run down the line here with info Big Brother doesn't want you to know.
I'm ready for it.
So when old folks go in with Alzheimer's and big rot holes in their arms where their skin is falling apart and their teeth have all fallen out, the doctors don't say, hey, you have scurvy. They just send them home to rot and die. Because Big Pharma doesn't make money if they say, hey, go eat some blueberries. Or go take naturally derived, say, you know, rose hemp, vitamin C or something. Don't, you know, it doesn't matter. Linus Pauling won 2 Nobel Prizes, one of them for discovering how powerful that, I mean, the vitamin C is magic. This is a short 6-minute segment, long segment coming up. Okay, pharmacist Ben Fuchs. We're going to post this video of this interview at InfoWarsTeam.com. If anybody's listening on the radio and wants to see the video of it, and some of the documents we're going to be going over. It'll be posted by tomorrow at InfoWarsTeam.com. Continue. Let's race through the other vitamins right now and what they're directly linked to if you don't have them.
Vitamin E, brain health, dry skin. These are deficiencies in vitamin E. Vitamin E deficiencies are associated with problems with thinking, with brain problems, with dementias, with macular degeneration, with eye disease, with impotence, with infertility. By the way, there's an infertility epidemic in this country. Vitamin E is known as the fertility vitamin. The technical name for vitamin E is tocopherol, which means to bear children. Deficiencies in vitamin E are associated with prostate disease, another epidemic. Deficiencies in vitamin E can cause skin problems like hyperpigmentation, dark spots, another seeming epidemic. Then there's the B complex, which is a series of vitamins that are found in nature. The B complex are the energy vitamins. If you're feeling sluggish, if you're feeling lethargic, if you have brain fog, all of these are associated with B complex deficiencies. The more sugar you eat, the more deficient you're going to be in key B vitamins. There's a B vitamin that is so fundamental for brain health that Dr. Abram Hoffer wrote a book called Orthomolecular Psychiatry, talking about treating schizophrenia successfully using
nothing
more. That's B12. That's B3. But B12 is unspeakably important. If you have any digestive issues, you're going to be deficient in B12. B12 is critical for the nervous system and for the blood system. And many people are deficient in B12 and don't notice it. If you have any gastritis or low stomach acid issues, you're going to have problems absorbing B12. Vitamin B3, by the way, is wonderful for treating social anxiety disorder or jitteriness or just generalized anxiety. Deficiencies in vitamin B3 are associated with brain fog, learning disabilities, cholesterol. It's a more powerful cholesterol-lowering drug than any statin drug, simply vitamin B3 niacin. And you can read all about that all over. It's all over the internet, but niacin for lowering cholesterol, if you so desire to lower cholesterol. Vitamin D. No, everybody's heard about vitamin D these days. Vitamin D is an immune-boosting vitamin. Its deficiencies are associated with diabetes, with poor sugar control, with high blood pressure, with multiple sclerosis, with cardiovascular disease. This is like a who's who of all the diseases that we're dealing with, and they're all associated with nutritional deficiencies. Vitamin K deficiencies associated with bruising, the formation of stones.
And by the way, you're not just saying this right now. This is admitted, and the people they put on Coumadin, they tell them not to eat green vegetables, which has the vitamin K, and then the rot holes are all in their skin, their skin's falling off. They're literally being murdered. This is not your opinion. They've known this for hundreds of years. Please continue.
So vitamin K, it's absolutely correct, by the way. When they put you on Coumadin, they tell you not to eat any vitamin K-containing foods, including broccoli and cauliflower and anything that's got vitamin K in it. Same with vitamin E, by the way. After surgery, even before surgery, vitamin E is such an effective blood thinner that they'll tell you not to take vitamin E. Why don't they give you vitamin E instead of the Coumadin? That's a whole nother, instead of the medications, that's a whole nother question. Anyway, vitamin A is associated, deficiencies associated with acne. I deal with acne all the time. And if you want to induce acne in a patient or in a laboratory animal, you got to do nothing more than remove the vitamin A out of the diet. Vitamin A deficiencies are associated with zinc deficiencies, which is extremely common. Vitamin A deficiencies can be linked to psoriasis, to eczema, to dry skin, to dry lips, to cardiovascular disease, depressions in the immune system, digestive distress, leaky gut syndrome, osteoporosis, deficiencies in zinc, my favorite mineral, associated with acne, eczema, poor wound repair. Zinc is absolutely vital for growing protein for children.
I know multiple women who are pretty young who have the epidemic of their hair falling out because they're on diets, all this stuff, that their hair came back when they were on Beyond Tangy Tangerine for 6 months. I mean, the hair came back. I watched it.
That's not surprising to me. You're getting a healthy dose of nutrients, and you're getting them in liquid format, easy to absorb fashion. That's a neat thing, by the way, about the Beyond Tangy Tangerine and liquid nutrition is you notice results quickly. This isn't like a 30-day kind of thing. You notice results in days, sometimes in doses, sometimes in one or two doses. And the great thing about the human body in deficiency states is the more deficient you are, the faster your body responds. The more weight you need to lose, the faster you'll lose the weight. The more nutritionally deficient you are, the faster your body will absorb the nutrients. That means the sicker you are.
Oh yeah, people that are really skinny gain weight on it. Your body knows what to do with these tools. We'll be back with the rest of vitamins.
We're on the march. The empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
waging war on corruption, crashing through the lies and disinformation. Monday through Friday from 12 noon to 3 p.m. Eastern. Back on the radio Sundays, 4 to 6 p.m. And don't forget weeknights. Five nights a week, 7 o'clock Central, 8 o'clock Eastern. InfoWars Nightly News, where you'll find me, Alex Jones, and my incredible crew of out-of-control, rampaging liberty lovers. We will not stand down. We will not back down. We will not surrender. Hear the cry of war. Louder than before. With the sword of truth, we control the land. Yeah, we're going to drag the Phantom Lord of the New World Order out by a shirt tail and, with God's help, throw him right into the pit when the archangel ties him up in chains. Listen to this part right here. Some poetry right there. All right, let's go back to Ben Fuchs. It's hard to turn that off. Let me tell you something, folks. I promote what I believe in, and I'm going to do a plug right here for the longevity products. Discounted if you sign up for $10, like Costco. You get discounts at InfoWarsTeam.com, and your purchase supports us. They've got the Just Out with my ugly face on the cover. Pollen Burst Plus with the currant berries from New Zealand. Little added boost of antioxidants on top of all the bees and the minerals and the bee pollen and all the stuff that's in there. The Beyond Tangy Tangerine, everything. InfoWarsTeam.com. 877-551-1301. 877-551-1301. If you want to call and be a distributor or got any questions or want to talk to some of the folks at the InfoWars team, a lot of people that end up being distributors end up working for the crew here. This stuff has taken the country by storm through our radio show. I know that it's boosted the overall longevity sales, period, outside of what I'm doing, about 35% in the last year, because people buy what really works, okay? Again, I've been promoting this 2 years, knew it was good, didn't really, stuck my toe in, though. It was just another sponsorship of something I believed in, but I wasn't. When I saw with Aaron and then my family and my mother, who's a triathlete, and everybody else, and then women I know whose hair was falling out and the hair came back in, because it wasn't a hormonal issue. It was a nutrient thing. Nails growing faster. I don't want to get into personal stuff, but I never had a really oily skin, but I get some, blackheads and stuff. Just almost gone. Really dramatic effects. The only problem is I feel like I'm 18 again, and I'm super aggressive. I mean, super aggressive, where I'm just ready to get in fights almost instantly. But that's most people, it doesn't do that, okay? That's just how I am, okay? I've always been aggressive. And going back to Ben Fuchs, I know a lot of these, having this mix also has boosted my testosterone. Naturally, I'm not going to get into how I know that's happened. But men know when you've got a boost of testosterone, how you know that. The point is, this is real. Now, can you do this through other products? Yeah, it'll cost you more. We've even looked at it. It costs a lot more to try to get everything you get in just a few longevity products, the Alex Pack. With the Osteo FX, the Essential Fatty Acids, the Beyond Tangy Tangerine, and the Pollen Burst Plus. You do that, you get everything. They've got a lot of other little specialty cofactors and things. And I'm going to stop plugging now. That's not why Ben Fuchs is on. We can do 2 hours on this. You can get clean water. You can get the basic vitamins, basic minerals, huge dosages of vitamin C, and just see what it does for you. Try some other company. Just please. In fact, Ben, before we get back to the minerals and vitamins, we've covered about 10% of them. We got a race now, because I haven't heard you talk about this specifically. I found that if I drink more clean water as well, that's essential, and I've seen that help family before I even woke up to this other stuff. I had like great uncles and people who I'd sit there watch drinking coffee and tea all day, and I said, "Do you drink water?" And they can hardly get out of their chair. They're like, "No," and I go, "You're all shriveled up. You're dehydrated. Do you know that's a diuretic? I don't want to hear it." I'm like, "Hey, listen, I brought them literature, said, if you want to feel better, do this." And it was like a new person just off water. So we're not selling water, by the way. We think you should purify it. I mean, but there's a lot of stuff hidden in plain view. The system knows this. Pharmacist Ben Fuchs, how important is water?
Please, more water means more blood. More blood means more oxygen and more nutrition, and you don't need to know anything more than that. Especially, by the way, first thing in the morning. First thing in the morning, we tend to be dehydrated because usually we've gone to the bathroom once or twice and we haven't replaced our fluids for 6 or 8 hours. So first thing in the morning, you're dehydrated. When you drink more water, immediately, within moments, you have more blood volume. More blood volume means more nutrients and more oxygen. And by the way, for diabetics, drinking more water is absolutely vital. And we know 30% of Americans are either pre-diabetic or diabetic. Drinking more water will dilute your blood, your blood sugar too. So if you're having
blood sugar issues, so it's the garbage man. It helps carry away all the trash.
It makes your blood volume higher, and it delivers more nutrients to your tissues. When you have high blood pressure, by the way, and almost 80 to 100 million Americans are dealing with high blood pressure issues, that's a sign that your body is trying to deliver more nutrients and more oxygen to the tissues. Simply drinking more water, by virtue of the fact that it will deliver more nutrients to your body's cells, will allow your blood pressure to relax. So drinking more water is important for brain health. It's important for nutrient delivery. It's important for detoxification.
But that doesn't make Big Pharma, who happen to be eugenicists, more money, so they don't ever tell you about that at the doctor's office. Let's continue with the vitamins, minerals, trace elements, cofactors. Race through them.
EFAs, essential fatty acids. I don't know if you could come up with one supplement that's more important than essential fatty acids. They are a must-have nutritional supplement. They're very difficult to get out of foods because of processing. Deficiencies in EFAs will wreak havoc on your hormone system. It'll wreak havoc on your skin. You cannot make collagen for your skin. Like with vitamin C, you can't make collagen without essential fatty acids. You can't make the skin's barrier, so you'll be dealing with all kinds of skin problems. You'll have joint stiffness. You'll have pain in your joints. You'll have poor wound repair. If you're a woman, you'll be dealing with PMS. Essential fatty acids are almost like a cure for premenstrual syndrome issues. The big problem with essential fatty acids, you and I have talked about this in the past, is if you're deficient, you'll find yourself craving fats. You won't be able to stay away from the French fries. And that's one of the neat things about nutritional supplementation, is it will allow you to wean yourself off of foods that you know are bad for you, but that you cannot resist. Food manufacturers and chemical companies understand that under conditions of nutritional deficiencies, we won't be able to stop eating the French fries.
Well, yeah, that's Aaron. Aaron lost 92 pounds. Over a year. He's now 6 months into keeping it off, but now his muscles are building up, and he literally has had a total transformation. The video of that is now posted at InfoWarsTeam.com. We aired it on the radio yesterday, but for people that want to see the before and after, it's at InfoWarsTeam.com. Just posted there last night.
Even talk about weight loss.
Well, the point is, he said whenever he was craving pizza or whatever, he just would take essential fatty acids. Go ahead.
Exactly right. When you're craving fats, that's your body's cry for good fats. Your body doesn't have a cry for French fry fats, but it has a loud cry for essential fatty acids, and we just don't listen or understand or interpret our body's signal. So once you get on EFAs, the French fries are just not going to taste good to you. Same with the ice cream and same with the potato chips and all the other fatty foods that we're addicted to. All right, so continuing on, one of my favorite minerals, magnesium. Deficiencies are associated with anxiety, nervousness, jitteriness. Magnesium is your relaxing mineral. Take it before you go to bed and you'll fall asleep much easier.
No, I've started doing that. I've started doing that because I sleep pretty good, but the dogs bark, the kids wake up. If I take a teaspoon of this magnesium stuff that I've gotten from Longevity, it literally, I sleep like the dead, where you just wake up in the morning, boom, you know, that deep sleep. It's a drug. That's what they don't tell you. The vitamins and minerals are the real drugs that are natural that our body's designed to get, and the pimps don't want us knowing that. They sell us manipulated garbage.
Well, that's a brilliant point. Nutrients are what drugs dream they could be. When a drug goes to bed at night and has a fantasy, it fantasizes that it's a nutrient, because nutrients give you benefits with no toxicities. This is a medicinal dream come true, to have benefits with no toxicities. If a pharmaceutical company could find a drug that was as powerful as vitamin C, that had all the benefits of vitamin C or any vitamin or mineral, but had no side effects, what would that drug be worth? What would a drug be worth that could lower your blood pressure, that could fight cancer, mixture that could boost your immune system, that could build bone, among many other things, and have zero toxicity. Can you name a drug like that? There's no drug on planet Earth.
Well, what they're doing is they're coming and adding a molecule or something to the molecule, and they are starting to patent fish oils and things, and they're making you pay 10 times more.
That's right. You see, a cell depends on nutrients. Nutrients are a cell's support system. Nutrients are like the cavalry. They carry the forces of life. Drugs are like Darth Vader. Drugs force a cell to do their bidding, all supposedly in the interests of a greater good. Drugs are like communist dictators, like Mao. They suppose it in the interests of the greater good of the body, they poison the individual cells. Nutrients are like your family. Nutrients work with cells. Drugs work against a cell. That's all you need to know right there. Nutrients work with the cell's chemistry. They are the support system for a cell. Drugs work against a cell. From a cell perspective, they are the quintessential adversary. They are poisons, literally. They are handled by the body's poison control system. And this whole idea of medications and drugs and prescriptions being handled by the poison control system in the body, which is impeccable, this whole idea of drugs being handled this way has two important implications. Number one, it depletes your body's of nutrients. The more prescription drugs you're taking, the more nutritional deficiencies you will have. Nutrients that are typically not replaced. And also, secondly, focusing on drugs makes it more likely that not all other things will get cleared out. If your poison control system is overwhelmed from detoxifying your statin drugs or from detoxifying your antibiotics or detoxifying whatever medications you're on,
your immune system turns off and you get cancer.
You'll be depleting your body's ability to handle these cancer-causing substances. You're going to be depleting your impeccable poison control system's energy. You'll be increasing the risks of poisons being built up. And even worse, you're going to be building up toxic intermediaries. And this is a point that's missed when we hear about drugs. We hear about side effects, and they're hideous. But even worse, you're depleting your body's ability to handle poisons. You're depleting your body's ability to handle cancer-causing substances. You're depleting your body's ability to handle substances that cause disease, and you may not even make the connection between the two. There's not a single drug on planet Earth that can heal anything in the body. They are simply there to change test markers and to eliminate symptoms. On the other hand, by using nutritional supplements, you can literally reverse the disease process. That's the beauty of good nutrition, and that's why I'm a nutritional pharmacist, Alex. That's why I practice nutrition instead of dispensing toxic pharmaceutical drugs, because nutrients are the quintessential premier medicines. They are the very definition of what a medicine should be, with no toxicity.
All right, continuing here, let's get into we've gotten into magnesium, we should get it, we've gotten into fatty acids, let's get into selenium, then let's get into other minerals, cofactors, and some of the things from your research and other major studies. Some of the other things that have been found that really supercharge things and help your body use all of these things in concert.
Selenium is unbelievably important for the body's detox system. We just talked about the poison control system. There's a chemical in the body called glutathione. Some of your listeners may have heard of glutathione. Glutathione is your master cancer fighter. It's your master antioxidant. It's your master detoxification element. And it runs on a little selenium battery. It's one of the neat things about minerals is they function electromagnetically as batteries that charge enzymes. And one of the most important enzymes that selenium charges is glutathione. Without selenium, you can't make this master cancer fighter. Selenium is also an important component in thyroid health. If you're hypothyroid, you definitely want to think about getting on selenium. Selenium deficiency is associated with muscle weakness. It's associated with fatigue. It's associated with joint disease. Selenium deficiency can cause miscarriages and birth defects, and perhaps most importantly, selenium deficiency is associated with cardiovascular disease, which is the leading killer in this country and around the world. And you don't need very much selenium. Just the amount of selenium that would fit on a couple of pinheads is all you need as a daily dose to assure that you don't suffer from these deficiency diseases. That's a tiny, tiny little bit of this very important substance, selenium. And selenium is one that you can take too much of. And that's why when you're taking, when you're using a nutritional supplement program, something like the Beyond Tangy Tangerine, you don't have to concern yourself with the doses as much because the formulators have taken care of those dosages for you.
All right, let's talk about this. And then I want to go into some of the current news items that you wanted to mention. and there's other key cofactors and things like what you were just mentioning, but why are they attacking eggs and even whey protein? I guess they don't want us healthy. LA Times says eating whole eggs is dangerous as smoking, but then our brain is mainly made out of these good cholesterols. Is it true that that we should be on a low-fat diet?
Well, even Ansel Keys, who's the father of the so-called fat and cholesterol hypothesis, has come out saying that we've known all along that dietary cholesterol has nothing to do with the amount of cholesterol in your body. This whole thing on eggs, I'm going to talk about this on my program tomorrow. This whole thing on eggs is absolutely tragic. If anybody listens to this silliness that's coming out of this study in Canada, it's very, very unfortunate. First of all, if you look at the numbers, and you got to be very careful with how the press reports things. If you look at the numbers right out of the study, as it turns out, people who ate the highest amount of eggs had exactly the same cholesterol, even higher cholesterol levels than people who ate less eggs. So this whole idea of eating egg yolks and causing cancer, this is just a bunch of hooey. The egg yolk is nature's richest source of nutrients next to human mother's milk. And not in the white. The nutrients are not in the white when it comes to an egg. They're in the yolk. And I'm talking vitamin A. I'm talking the B complex. I'm talking vitamin K. I'm talking essential fatty acids, magnesium, calcium, vitamin D, copper, iron, manganese, selenium, zinc. These are all in
the
yolk.
Well, they even tell people that have epilepsy eat more eggs because it's been associated with helping the brain. I mean, this is known. So why are they, if they're going to put taxes on cigarettes, I guess now they're saying eggs are bad. Bloomberg wants to tax salt. He wants to tax soft drinks, again, making themselves the good guys while ignoring all the real problems. Are they doing that, knowing they're killing us with the nanny state, so that they can selectively take control?
That's a point that's well taken. But you know what? We got to take the control back. This idea of nutritional supplementation is one of the best ways that you can take charge of your health and not depend on the doctor. And Alex, what's going to happen if we end up with this Obamacare thing with managed care, government mandated managed care, government mandated HMOs? This is going to be an unmitigated health disaster. And our best protection is to understand how to use nutritional supplementation. And by the way, as far as this study goes on egg yolks, look to see who the scientists who came up with this study, Dr. David Spence, the Canadian authors, David Spence and David Jenkins and Jean Davignon, see who these guys get paid for, and guess who you will find is writing the checks. AstraZeneca and the cholesterol, the drug companies that make
sure
the
they want to say it's
drugs.
The cholesterol that's bad, not imbalances in the body. And at the same time, they want to put statins in the water, even of children. So they're creating this world where the building blocks of our body are listed as evil so they can tax them and regulate them and control them, not letting us have access to it. No, they don't want us to know that they've produced artificial food designed to make us sick and mentally ill. They don't want you to know if you can't sleep, it's magnesium. They got a deadly class 3 narcotic for you. They don't want you to know you got rot holes in your skin because you don't have enough vitamin C. You got zits all over the place. They don't want you to know any of this stuff. By the way, Paul Watson's article is very powerful. It's up at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. DHS classifies new ammo purchases following controversy as they buy even more than $1.4 billion. And all these different agencies are getting it, the post office, the Social Security Administration, the National Weather Association. And one of the commenters makes a point of a meaning to make. Google Excluded Income is their name. And it's fact. Hollow point bullets are illegal to use in war. Yep. Hollow point bullets are too expensive for practice uses. Hollow points are for our heads and torso and arms and legs. Yeah, I mean, these are bullets for us, 1.4 billion bullets. Ben, I just had to ask you, because you're a smart guy, what is your take on armored pillboxes, checkpoints getting set up, and 1.4 plus billion rounds of ammo for us? I mean, what are these criminal lunatics planning?
Well, you know, it gets to what you were saying before before we went to the break. We are at risk of losing our individual freedoms because we're not paying attention and we've abdicated our personal responsibility. And when it comes to our health, nothing is more dramatic than this idea of medicalizing everything. The articles we were going to talk about, should doctors treat lack of exercise as a medical condition?
We'll do a little bit of overdrive to get into that. But yeah, I mean, here's my frustration. I've seen it work with family, Aaron Dye. I lost 40 pounds and then just am not in the habit of taking stuff all day. So I quit doing it. Now I'm back on it. Even when I know it's real myself, I'm so weak I can't fully commit, Ben.
Well, you know what? You can't fully commit until you do, because once you do, you would not want to. Once you do commit, you're not going to be want to be without your Beyond Tangy Tangerine, your nutritional supplements. And it may be
I take them once or twice a day, but you're supposed to take them, you know, 3-4 times a day. My point is, I've already seen dramatic results. I just can't believe how real this is and how hidden in plain view. Like, yeah. Drink more water, you know.
Right. Oh, here's another one. Just breathing. One of the most powerful ways to lower your blood pressure is to practice diaphragmatic breathing. Simple oxygen can drop your blood pressure and get you off your antihypertensive drugs, your calcium channel blockers, and your beta blockers. And by the way, Alex, among the deadliest drugs of all, and there's a lot of deadly drugs, are these antihypertensive drugs. Now they want to give you the poly pill, which is a combination of different three or four antihypertensive drugs that you take in one pill.
That's what I wanted to ask you next. And your body's doing all this hyper stuff to keep you alive. You block it, you end up killing yourself. What do you make of all the big pharma documents in like 5 companies the last month coming out where they know their drugs are killing us and have no benefit and are laughing at us? I mean, they're so evil.
Have you heard about Propecia, the baldness drug now?
Yes, now, tell us.
Propecia is the baldness drug, and now people are surprised that Merck has been hiding the side effects. The company that makes Propecia has been hiding all the side effects that are associated with this. But the bottom line here is we shouldn't be surprised, because the mechanism of drugs is to block things in the body. That's why you have antihypertensives.
Merck knew that the MMR shot was actually giving people the measles, mumps, and rubella, and they were like, ha, 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 we'll get more money as we spread the measles, mumps, and rubella. I mean, it's just the diabolical nature.
It is diabolical. That's exactly right. You're playing with the body's chemistry. If you're on a prescription drug, Alex, your number one health objective needs to be to figure out how to get off that prescription drug. If you're on a prescription drug, it's not a matter of losing weight. It's not a matter of going to the gym. It's not a matter of eating better. It's a matter of getting off that prescription drug, because it's killing you. And nutritional supplementation is your best strategy.
Yeah, again, because supplements work with the body. We're designed for those. Drugs go, like you said, Darth Vader put a gun to your head, whereas the natural stuff just works with the body as a family, symbiotic, incredible, and full.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.